All right, folks, we are back for the 100th time. Well, technically 99, think about it, because we're going back. It doesn't matter. 100th episode of the Flagstaff.com T-Talk podcast. Scotty McLeod is my co-host, Stefan Tiedorf here. Scotty, when we sat down over 2 years ago now in my basement around a poker table and decided to do our first episode of this podcast, did you really think 2 years later we'd still be doing this talking?
I had no idea. All I knew was, you know what, we both love the game. We both figured there was a lot of stories out there and people out there that wanted to talk about the game, so why not dive in and away we go. But yeah, it's kind of wild to think here we are 100 episodes later.
Yeah, and there's like a ton of people that have almost become characters to this podcast, friends of the show that we've talked about throughout time and we reference, and we're going to get to a ton of different people today. We're doing something different. I don't know if it's going to work. I'm probably not going to edit anything. It might get slapped with a warning, not even like an explicit, just warning label. Who knows where this is going to go? Well, we have a ton of different guests through, and I'm looking forward to it, and we'll get to all of them throughout the episode and throughout the night for us. And who knows how long it's gonna be. A 3-hour podcast at this rate,
it could be. And yeah, it was kind of funny. I said one of our friends I was talking to, and you know, they said, hey, you know, good on you guys for trying to pull this off. And I'm like, we haven't pulled it off yet.
Yeah,
so we'll see what happens.
It's like a radio show, you know. It's like call-in radio show with who knows what we're gonna get. But I'm looking forward to it because there's a ton of golf stuff, just present day stuff to talk about. Big weekend, obviously, with Patrick Reed being Patrick Reed and the rules infractions and all that. We're going to get to that. We actually have our rules official extraordinaire, Rich McLean, at some point popping in, I believe, to chat about that. And I'm sure everybody we talk to is going to have some sort of take on that situation. One guy we don't have on that I wanted to get on, and just finally the T-Talk bump, it seems to us have happened after he already won that massive, what was it, the Colorado Open, where he picked up 100 grand. That was his first T-Talk bump, and now he's Monday qualified into the Waste Management Open this week. Mark Anguiano, what an awesome dude, and just a player that this is where we all believe he should be playing, knowing how good of golf he's playing. And here he is playing with the big boys, and fortunately couldn't make it, playing a practice round with Brooks Koepka right now. So he's a little busy with him instead of us.
Yeah, he big time our good buddy Ryan French from Monday Q Info, who's out there at the Waste Management Open to cover it. And Ryan basically got a hold of him and said, hey, can you do an interview? And he said, nope. Playing a practice round with Brooks. So, yeah.
First name.
With Brooks. Brooksy.
I'm sure they're buds. Like, I think golf's not that big, but I thought that was cool. But so shout out to Mark and shout out to Ryan. The coverage he had going of the Monday qualifier, which was one of the weirdest Monday qualifiers.
It's chaos.
Like
chaos.
It was 2 days, not by on purpose. Like,
no.
They ran out of light. There, you know, you got a guy warming up beside a guy with a TrackMan beside him, like and he's about to go play his $7 NASA, and this guy's trying to play for his career, basically. You know, he's got a piece of equipment beside him worth more than this guy's car that he showed up in. Monday, I don't think people understand the chaos. I think one of my goals for probably not this year, but next year, is to go caddy in one of these and just see
for sure
what the true chaos is like.
Yeah.
Have you ever been out to a couple of those?
Yeah, I've been out to see some, it's definitely, it doesn't look like the tournament itself, let's say that. I mean, for most people, they have to realize that, you know, the Monday qualifiers are usually not on the same site. They're usually on a different facility. So they could be anything as far as a muni, local course, whatever the case may be. And, you know, we saw that for this one. I don't know if you saw the video with the dogs going across the bridge.
Yeah, the guy's ball land on the bridge and stayed on this bridge. And you obviously can't take a lateral drop because you'd be in the water. You're on a bridge.
Yeah.
And yeah, these dogs come by. The guy's got to stand over his ball so the dogs don't pick it up. And yeah, and it's just like you don't see that stuff.
No, and it looks a little different now just because they've got the pre-qualifiers. So that sort of weeds out, you know, some of the dreamers and then, you know, the players that are maybe going to, you know, interfere with some of the other players. But, you know, when you get to the Monday qualifier, you get exactly that. You get guys that are living in their cars, you know, doing everything they can to scratch it out. But then you also got, you know, guys who maybe spent years on the PGA Tour and still have sponsors, still have a good bit of money in their pocket, still drive nice cars. You know, you see guys pulling up in Lambos and all sorts of different things. And, you know, they're just standing on the tee next to the guy who's probably washed his pants in his sink last night in his hotel. And you know what? They're all playing for the same thing. And I think that's sort of the, you know, the democracy of golf and the fact that, you know, that guy who washed his pants in the sink could be the guy who gets in and, you know, does well and wins a tournament and, or whatever, earns more status than the other guy.
It's crazy too. Cause it's not like, I don't know this golf course. I've been to Phoenix a bunch of times. It's somewhere in the Phoenix area. Didn't look anything special. I haven't heard anything great about
mud everywhere.
Yeah. It didn't look awesome. Yeah. Mud in Phoenix. Never heard of it. You know, the final guy that got in, he made a, I believe he made a big putt to get in. I think minus seven got in.
Yeah.
Like six.
Yeah, he chipped in on 17 and then made a putt and then got into the playoffs. So Nick Hardy.
Yeah. Six is sends you home. Minus six sends you home. You're not going. You've spent $500 or whatever it is to even play in this event. And you're heading home with nothing. Yeah. And you're driving to the next one and hoping maybe you can find some money games on the way. Just a different lifestyle. And this is the PGA Tour. We're not talking the Smetra Tour. We're not talking the Cactus Tour. We're not talking any of these minor league, the Hooters Tour, whatever tour, you know, the Michelob Ultra Tour, like these mini tiny tours that don't, like, this is the PGA Tour. And we got guys, as you said, living in their car.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's going to make it that much more fun to watch Mark and how he plays. And I tweeted out today the show that he came on last July. I think it was episode 72. So if people want to go back and check that out and, you know, get to know what this guy is all about. I think once you do, you'll probably put a lot of faith in the fact that, you know, it could make an impact.
So we have our first guest who just popped in. I wasn't able to actually
breaking in.
I wasn't even able to approve him. I would have made him wait a little bit. This guy's been a little bit of a character on this podcast, somebody that we like to poke fun at from time to time for his expertise on the golf course. Chipping is what he's known for. I don't even know if he's even aware he's on camera right now.
I don't even know. He might be oblivious.
My
dad. I'm on camera. Hey, guys.
There he is.
So what, Dave Pelce wasn't available, so you called me?
Bottom of the barrel. We literally went through everyone in my phone and said, all right, Dad, here's your shot. You've been asking for years. Get it off your chest. What do you have to say about everything we've said about you on this podcast?
So 2 years of abuse, and you finally let me join the podcast.
Yeah, so you might want to get going. You only got 5 minutes before we boot you.
I've got 5 minutes.
And I'm sure you've got more than 5 minutes of secrets to tell me about Steph, right?
Well, Scotty, I've got a question. How many holes in one have you had?
Only one. Sad.
Oh, Steph, how many have you had?
Two.
Okay, so I rest my case, gentlemen. Now what do you want to talk about?
Have another glass of wine. You didn't even say how many you had. You could have had zero based on what you're saying.
I've had three. Okay. I've had three.
So. Now, I did witness the final of the three. I believe that hole-in-one was on the 16th hole to get you, I believe, back to maybe plus 21 on the day, finishing, what was it, 96 that day?
It was a tough day. It was windy up there. But you nearly witnessed one again on one of our last games of the year too.
Almost
hit the pin, same hole.
Same, almost. They love those stories in golf. It's we have kind of a full podcast of almost.
I gotta find out though. You know, when did Stefan actually first beat you playing golf? Or has he yet?
Oh yes, yeah. So he took up the game at 19. I'd probably say about 25.
All right.
Yeah.
Better than I thought.
It didn't take him long.
His memory's fading with years. I think 25's, that's a long time. I don't know about that, but I'll let him have that one. You could still chip when I was in my early 20s.
You know what? I can chip again. So both of you have tried to teach me how to chip, and I saw a video.
Always the best place to go.
Well, you know what? and they were talking about the way that Tiger chips, and he chips with the in between the legs. It's not the back of the legs, right in the middle. And I used it all year, and my game was good.
You don't look like Tiger. Just letting you know.
You know what? I look like Tiger, but he's 20 years younger.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
So, what's the story with that jacket?
Obviously we're a podcast, so you can't really see the jacket or everybody, but I am wearing a jacket that is from the Ryder's Cup in Las Vegas. It used to be an annual event for many years. It would bring together golf writers from around the world, and we would have a golf tournament, and the winner gets this snazzy green sequin jacket. And you get to walk around Las Vegas in the casinos that night wearing it with the other champions who wear their jacket as well. So, yeah.
Oh, so everyone that has won it.
Exactly. Yeah, you notice he slid that just in there casually. I just, you win, you get the jacket.
So I've got to tell you a story.
Okay, and then we're cutting you out of here.
Okay.
So let's hear the story.
Yeah, one story.
Don't screw this up. If it's good, we'll have you as a returning guest. So let's hear the story.
So Green Jacket was sitting down in Cuba 2 years ago. As you know, couldn't go last year. So
for reference, my dad has an annual boys trip. Bunch of men go down, act like boys in Cuba. There's a golf course down there. About 12 of you each year, correct?
12 of us. The youngest is 60-something. So someone brought up the idea of having or presenting a green jacket to the champion for the week. Okay. So down in Cuba, you know, there's a lot of rum, there's a lot of beer. So it went from a green jacket to a green Speedo.
Oh, geez.
So unfortunately,
this is a podcast.
Scott, I think you've played the Barrel Darrow golf course.
The one and only in Cuba, yes.
Yes. So the concept is, and the commissioner has bought this green Speedo about a size 32, which would not get over anyone's hips. Oh boy. And the whole idea was that the winner of the tournament has to go down, put on that green Speedo, and come up to the top of the 18th green and pose for everyone else. So hopefully this year we're going to be able to present that Speedo.
Wow. That's a horrifying image. Thank you. I have to deal with that for the rest of the night.
I know pretty much all these boys. There might be two guys on this trip that's fitting without any of you, all of you being kicked out of that resort. So you might want to get like a 42.
It's whatever the commissioner bought.
All right. Well, that's a great story. Looking forward to hearing more about it. Final words on the podcast, us making fun of you on the daily, well, weekly, I guess. And it's your chance to fight for yourself here.
You know what? There's no sense fighting you guys because you're in control of the podcast. Like, I can just sit back. But you know what? I do have... And you may want to check it out. Steve McEwen, which we call Sideways, and myself are now on YouTube.
Oh God!
Doing short game expertise. I'm looking after the chip. And
there's no way you know how to upload a video to YouTube.
What?
You can't fax a video into YouTube.
Scanning his phone. He's got his phone on the scanner, hoping it will go in directly to YouTube. Did you Google YouTube phone number? Hey, YouTube, I'm looking to upload my video.
You know what? You guys, you wouldn't believe our ability to chip and putt.
All right. We're running out of time. Thank you. Thank you. We got important guests to get to.
You've insulted me for 2 years and you give me 7 minutes.
Tight timelines here, right? You know, our sponsors, you know, they're saying we got to cut you off.
Okay, guys. Well, thanks for inviting me. I can't wait. you know what? Next time, I think you should invite the whole Cuban gang.
Yeah, we'll think about that one. Yeah. Why don't you get back to us? When you get us photos, maybe when you get photos of your buddy in the Speedo, Scott will run a story on flagstick.com. You can do like guest writing of how this came to be, and it'll be a guy's trip episode and the fun of those. Scott, thoughts on that? With photos.
Oh, God. No. I'm going to have to pick my eyes out with a melon ball peeler or whatever. I don't know.
All right, okay, Pops. Guys. Thanks for stopping by. See you later.
Thanks for inviting me. Have a great evening.
Peace. Yeah.
Bye.
A YouTube video.
Yeah, there's no way. So is
how to triple chip.
He's really good at the double hit. So his butt...
I was just going to say, I was a little concerned when I was doing a chipping lesson with him, and I had to sort of make sure he wasn't aimed towards the clubhouse, where there was a glass door after the first couple of chips. It was a little dodgy.
So his buddy they were talking about there, he can't putt. Like, he's like tried everything. He went with the Mark Hubbard, the whole nine yards. This guy, he can't do anything. It's like the hockey stick. So the two of them should not start a YouTube channel. Somebody that does, you can find, I assume you can find this guest on YouTube, right, Scotty?
I don't know if she has a YouTube channel, but she has everything else.
Who do we our got friend, here?
Our good friend, Lisa Longball, 8-time Canadian long drive champion. Lisa, welcome.
Thank you so much. Okay, do I have a YouTube channel? All my surfing videos. Where would I put my surfing videos if I didn't have a YouTube channel?
Instagram, right. Facebook, everywhere.
So not only does Lisa decide, hey, I want you to feel small with my golf swing and how far I hit it, I also want you to feel poor as I ski behind or surf behind my boat every day in beautiful Alberta. So win-win for Lisa's Twitter and Instagram.
See, this is what happens when all the long drive competitions get canceled over the pandemic. I have this abundance of time on my hands that I just end up doing crazy surf videos.
They're great. And the best part about it, so if anybody has ever gone why can't I come up with the name? I've had a beer and I can't even think about it.
Wake
surfing. Wow. And I have friends that I've wake surfed before. Thank you. To wake surf,
his head though.
Yeah. Somehow got a concussion on the water. It's hard to get up on a wake surf alone, let alone the way you do it, because you're in different outfits and everything. So you don't want to get wet. Can you just run me through how you do that again?
So it's funny you say that. So my most popular video, I'm in a robe, I'm holding a Golf Digest, I'm reading a Golf Digest with a cup of coffee and my hair is in a towel and I'm bone dry. And it's so funny because Good Morning America picked it up and People Magazine picked it up and everyone's saying, it's fake, she's dry. And so, as we said, most people can barely, they'll start in the water with a rope and the boat will pull you up. And then once you find the pocket, you can drop the rope and you're surfing the wave. And as soon as you can no longer surf the wave, you simply lose it and you just fall into the water. So most people, when they drop the rope, they typically fall. Like it's challenging. It's very challenging. So they can't comprehend how I'm dry. So what I do is I've got a platform off the back of my boat. So I start with my whole outfit on and my goalie gear. Of course, I dressed in my goalie gear.
That was cool.
Pepsi picked that up during the NHL playoffs, and it was on Sportsnet and all that, which was funny, where I'm in full goalie gear stopping pucks behind my, with my full goalie gear. But so I go off the back platform. I do hold the rope. So I'm holding the rope. I go off the back platform. I find the pocket. I toss the rope in, and then we start filming. But what people don't realize is I also surf back up onto the platform. So I do it. Everyone keeps saying, show me your skills. Show me you falling and wiping out. And I haven't
doesn't
had
happen.
One yet.
Ugh, yes. Doesn't happen.
But I have a plan this summer for let's just say there's going to be a toboggan. There's going to be a toboggan in this next one. So there could very well be some outtakes.
All right. I'm looking forward to that. Well, Lisa, we haven't talked to you in a long time.
You were
like season one, first year. It's been over a year.
So the 100th episode, we're all coming back. All the oldies and goodies are coming back.
Exactly. The classics.
I think the last time we ran into each other at a golf town, just quickly, you had you had your show to do. I had a run. Unfortunately, couldn't chat too long, but what have you been up to? Because obviously that's your gig, right? You go around to random golf courses and golf stores, and you do women's clinics and long drive clinics, and you do long drive competitions. And obviously COVID threw a major loop in somebody that their career really is in front of people. So what have you been up to this summer and this year?
You make a good point. My whole business model is I get paid to speak in front of large groups of people or perform, right? So my very last trip, I had held a golf school in Phoenix, but just before that I was in Kingston, Ontario, and I had a chance to meet up with Scott, and he came to my golf town. So I'm sponsored by Golf Town. So normally I get to do all these golf clinics across Canada, all 47 stores across Canada, where I come and do clinics, not just for women, but for any golfer who wants to come. They're free, and I help people hit it longer, straighter, better. So it's super fun. And, but with the pandemic, we pivoted. And so Golf Town asked me to do some Facebook Lives, which I've never done before. So luckily they walked me through.
They went okay, though. I think they went all right.
We had over 1.5 million views. I still have guests that are sharing the videos. And so I did 17 videos. And of course, in every video, I told people, please go see your PGA of Canada, PGA of America, or LPGA instructor. But these are the things I've learned from my PGA instructors. And so I just shared that advice and often quoted my own coach, Paul Horton, who's a PGA of Canada instructor. But it was a hoot. I loved it. And I was doing it 3 days a week and then 2 days a week. And yeah, did 17 videos. And it's actually... starting in March, I'm coming to a computer screen near you again.
Nice. Love that. And you recently re-signed with Callaway. I know that.
Yeah, I was honored. So this will be my fifth year with Callaway Golf. Absolutely thrilled. They've been so wonderful, and I'm proud to be a head-to-toe athlete. So it's not just the phenomenal gear I get to hit, but also their apparel and footwear. So I'm excited. They just made an announcement today with our long drive tour that the first tour event officially is going to be in March. Now it was with the Golf Channel. The Golf Channel, unfortunately, over COVID, ended up kind of putting the brand up for sale. It wasn't purchased per se, but so there's a new federation running our long drive. But again, all the events are in the United States. So World Championships is slated for September in Mesquite, Nevada, which is the world's best long drive grid, which I know Scott's been to. Yeah. Down there. But yeah, it's so fingers crossed we're vaccinated and I can compete down there.
That Scotty, you think that's a? I think someone has to go cover Lisa's. It may as well be us,
right?
Like for Nevada in September. Scotty was wearing his green jacket earlier. That's, you know, we gotta go. It only makes sense.
I see the green jacket. Yeah. I think you should. I think Flagstick needs to represent there.
I like Mesquite too. That's for sure.
But then my other one was I pivoted. So I do keynote speaking,
right,
which actually also in Ottawa right before I came to Kingston delivering a keynote last year. And so now I pivoted virtually. So I have ring lights and wireless lavs and the whole nine yards, and I get to keynote from my living room.
See, you need to start an extra YouTube channel.
Right.
We got all the gear. Was that really 5 years ago that we were talking about Callaway and you signing with Callaway?
It was, and I remember having that discussion with you, Scott, and it's just was such a great move for me, and Bruce Carroll, the GM at Callaway, has been fantastic, and Brett Millard, so I'm really, really lucky.
What did you do last year for golf? Did you get out and play a little bit?
Oh, you know what? That was so fun. I actually played golf. Like, you know, normally I hit tons of balls, obviously getting ready for my competitions. And so I'm at the range a lot, but I don't actually get to play as much as I would like, especially competing in long drive. This year, I played more golf this year than I've played in the last 10 years. And it was so awesome. I played the majority of it with my husband and son. And so it was great family time. For me, I came out of the pandemic, or I know we're still mid-pandemic here, but through the difficult times there, you know, that having this great family time with my 13, now 14-year-old boy, that you know, usually with teenagers, they're off doing their hockey and baseball and friends, and we got to have great family time. So it was pretty awesome, and I traveled both in British Columbia and Alberta to do lots of golf, so it was fantastic.
So what did we get the handicap to this year, Lisa?
Oh, you know what? It was probably about an eight. I wasn't entering my scores. I think it was about an eight.
All right.
But there was blow up days and there were good days. There were really, like, you know what? I was like, I'm good at golf. There were days and I'm like, I'm good at golf.
Well, we just had a guest on right before.
He's not
you.
Good at golf. He doesn't
no,
get to say that.
Definitely not an eight. My dad. But he's claiming he's going to start a YouTube channel teaching people how to chip But I think that was the wine speaking. A lot of fake confidence today. So what, like, overall, your thoughts on the game, like how COVID potentially made things better? I mean, for you and pretty much every business out there, you got to readjust your business model, not only for what was happening throughout the year, but I'm sure this gave you a lot of time to reflect on, okay, what can I do better once I am able to get back out there? So what are your thoughts on how this pandemic potentially made your business better once everything's all hopefully all better?
Yeah, well, you know, one of the things is that for me that I was traveling because I, as you said, I wear so many hats as a competitive long driver and a keynote speaker, and I run my own golf schools, you know, and both in Canada and the US, you know, and corporate and charity golf tournaments. I wear all those hats. I realized I can do a lot of that from home. I don't need to be on a plane every other week doing that. So I think even post pandemic, when we're all vaccinated and we are traveling, I think a lot of companies are going to pivot to virtual, and they've shown that, you know, virtual can be successful. And I see a lot of hybrid events that perhaps there'll be an in-person function, but for those who can't attend, it'll be no problem to do a high quality virtual presentation of that. So that's something I see as a future for my business. And as for the game of golf, boy, oh boy, was it ever wonderful to see that golf was the perfect social distancing sport. I saw numbers go like this. I've had so many golfers reach out to me that either came back to the game or are brand new to the game. This is an opportunity, 2021, to keep those golfers coming and that make them fall in love with the game for the rest of their lives. So I'm excited about 2021. I'm pivoted. My golf schools are usually in the U.S. In February, this month, I'd be going to Orlando and then next month to Phoenix. And this year, I pivoted to have them in British Columbia, where of course there's year-round golf, and my school sold out in 2 days, and then I had to add two more dates, so I have four schools that sold out in 2 days each. And it shows that this minor women's golf schools, but women and golfers are excited for the game, and they want to invest in themselves.
I think this is the only time where somebody would be like, you know what, I would take Orlando right now, you know. Let's assume like life's normal, not Orlando in its current state, but like if you know, after all this, I think we've come to appreciate Florida a little bit. Yeah. Maybe we understand it a little bit more.
For sure. Today, I was actually supposed to be at the PGA show last week, and I would have played Winter Park with Scott on Friday. And then I was to drive down to Tampa, and I was invited to be a golf entertainer at the NFL Alumni Super Bowl golf tournament. And so that was, and so today it was the Women of Color with Clemmy Perry. It's the first time that they've had a women's portion to their NFL alumni tournament, and I was to be their guest entertainer.
Oh, wow.
Bummer. Maybe get a ticket to the Super Bowl. I don't know.
Next year.
Who do you got in the Super Bowl? You're a big sports lady.
I went to Nashville this last year, just before the pandemic, so like last October, and I watched the Tennessee Titans against the Buccaneers, and I'm like, they're not. And then to see the Buccaneers with Brady in the finals, and it's his 10th Super Bowl appearance, I got to go with it. I got to go with the 40-year-old. I'm going for Brady.
You can't bet against Tom Brady. Why would you? Well, Lisa, we appreciate you coming on. You've brought energy. I'm ready. I'm fired up. I'm fired up. And we got Rich McClain coming on next to talk rules, and I'm going to be at low after that. So at least
you get us up, and then he'll have us.
We're going to be real low. He's going to be giving us like 16.4 rule, 13.2, and we're not going to care. But we do care when you come on.
Did you say Patrick Reed? Was he gonna be doing
that? I'm sure.
No. Okay. Sorry.
Also, you follow Rich. Rich was fighting with anybody and everybody on Twitter this weekend. That was entertaining. I hope you can bring that on. Lisa, this year, I hope we run into each other in person. I'm sorry you're not in Orlando right now, but hey, second best. You get to hang out with me and Scott.
Yeah, and happy 100th episode, gentlemen. So proud seeing you in that top 10 of golf podcasts. I can't wait to see at the end of the year, you guys are going to be top 5 or even better. So congratulations, gentlemen, on your 100th episode.
Thanks Lisa. Please.
Thanks, guys.
Have a lovely night. See ya.
You too.
Wow. Every time. Brings the energy. That I think what people don't get, we talked about it on the first one, that is her.
Oh, yeah.
Always.
Genuine. Like, no coffee, nothing. That's her sun up to sundown.
It's crazy. Yeah. Fired up. Nice to see that she's still working and making it work throughout the year. Cause, you know, in a thing like that, like in a business model where you're just always in front of people and you're traveling to find a way to, you know, pivot. It just shows how hard of a worker she is.
Oh yeah, definitely. And, you know, adapting her business, but you know, she realized that, you know, all those connections she made over the years have paid off, you know. Yep. You do a lot of that groundwork and eventually, you know what, sometimes you'll need it, and she's managed to make use of it for sure.
All right. Should we bring this guy in? He's
Oh, maybe. I think I might have lasagna coming in my door.
Oh,
here.
We got some lasagna.
I'm
maybe we'll
dinner
do it.
And everything.
Do an interview with your wife once we get there.
she'll sneak in the door.
That's fine. That's fine. She's made it 100 episodes without showing up. So.
She said, open the door and I will hand you lasagna. So I'm going to do that while you introduce Rich.
Well, this man at one point was a co-host for an episode. One of Flagstick's main referees. Rich, what's going on,
hey.
Buddy? How are you?
I'm living. You guys?
Good. We definitely dug into you a little bit with our last interview, but we're happy to have you here. I just want you
Who'd you have on? Lisa?
I was a Tiger, but...
Well, it doesn't matter. Lisa or Tiger, it doesn't matter. I got a question. Why did you guys have her on before me?
We wanted to make sure our energy level was high so we could get through the rest, because we know when you're going to be going into, like, the decimal points of these different rules and stuff, we're going to drop a few levels. So we didn't want to have to drop too low before we get to Lisa.
That's what I was thinking. I mean, it's like putting Santa Claus at the start of the parade. I mean, come on. Nobody's going to hang around to see the insurance salesman float.
Yeah, well, here we are. Yeah. We take what we can get on this podcast.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, congrats on 100.
Thank you. We appreciate
it.
No one
would
have
saw it. Here's to 1,000 more.
I don't know if Scott's got that lifespan.
I don't know. That's like, I'm doing the math. It's like, yeah, that's 20 years, man.
Yeah, I don't know.
Time.
That's a lot of time. And he's building a simulator. And like, at some point, his wife's going to have enough, right? And just be like, enough.
Yeah.
Like, that's your third track, man, this year. I don't know what you're doing in there. You're not using it right.
He'll be found dead in the cage in the garage, you know, gripping with the overlap going. It's like, yeah.
Yeah. How uncomfortable is it going to be, Rich, when you go for a lesson and he has to fold up his bed into the wall?
Exactly.
It'll just be like when Rich and I were roommates a million years
exactly.
ago.
Yeah, exactly. Just let me push a few beer cans out of the way. We'll get you set up.
You guys were roommates at one point.
We were.
Yeah.
Let's dive into that.
Let me think, 1993, maybe?
Yeah, I think so. Well, yeah, and you know what? It's weird because Super Bowl is coming up this weekend.
you know?
Yeah, so speaking of smelly games,
we lived
in
the top half of a house that little did we know we were paying for the heat for the people that lived below us.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah. I'm at least a... Let you...
No, that's okay. The guy that lived downstairs basically kept the beer store open on his own.
Oh, there you go. Well, Rich, you're here. Let's talk
I'm
some
here.
Rules. You were fighting with anybody that would listen to you on Twitter.
all one of them, yes. My follower, yes.
Yeah. So what are your thoughts on the Patrick Reed situation? And I'll just leave it at that.
Well, you know...
Well, I eat my lasagna.
Yeah, you know it's a podcast, right? Like, this is an ASMR.
I know.
Right? We weren't looking
ASMR, yeah. No, you know what? At the bottom of it, he didn't do anything wrong. I mean, I know there's that reputation he's got.
Technically by the rules,
no,
right?
Yeah, exactly. Don't, you know.
Yes.
There's
a difference.
He didn't do anything wrong. Rory didn't do anything wrong. And they did the exact same thing. It was just, it's unfortunate there was video available where they could see in both instances the ball bounced. That being said, neither player could see that. So you have to operate under the best information that you've got at hand.
I have a question for you, Rich.
Yeah.
How bad of lawyers would the people be that are on Twitter talking about the rules and evidence in your estimation?
Well, it's in my estimation, the people that claim to know the most about the rules don't read the rules. You know, I mean, it's, how many people were piping up about, you know, he has to give his playing partners the opportunity to see him mark and lift the ball. I'm like, no, you don't have to do that anymore. Yeah. That's 2 years ago. So,
yeah.
Do you think a lot of this stuff just comes from people misunderstanding the rules, or do you think they're just making a judgment based on reputation more than anything?
Yes.
Or is it a combination of the two?
It's a combination. Yes. It's a combination of both. Yeah. And I get it. I mean, he's had situations where, you know, it's been pretty obvious that something not 100% kosher has happened. And unfortunately it extended to this instance. Now it may have looked a little bit awkward, but I mean, he came over, he marked the position of the ball, he picked it up, he actually set it aside, you know, by his caddy so he wouldn't touch it, so he wouldn't clean it.
Yeah.
Then he stood up and he has a bit of a conversation back and forth with his caddy, and then you see him gesture across the freeway, or the fairway. Freeway. Well, you know, when we're talking about those fairways out there, they're pretty fast. But no, he gestures across the fairway and gets an official to come over. Something Rory that didn't do, something that Rory didn't do, by the way. So,
why don't you explain how the rules changed? The difference in from 2 years ago to now, as far as you know, giving your opponent the opportunity to see what you're doing and so forth.
Yeah, it's no longer a requirement because, again, first of all, they're trying to save time. Secondly, it goes back to the integrity of the game, which is kind of an odd thing to say during this conversation. However, it's that the player's trusted to do the right thing in that situation. So the player is the ultimate judge as to whether or not the ball's embedded or whether or not it's damaged or what have you. So they just decided to get that out of the way.
Yeah, and you and I actually talked about this, about just generally the PGA Tour and big tournaments in general, where it's like, if you know the rule book, the rules official does not need to tell you what to do. We've all been out there on the PGA Tour. We all know what it's like inside those ropes. These guys can't even take a drop out of a hazard without calling an official over. And I get they're paying for a lot of money. They do not want to make a mistake, but they don't need to do that. There's been so many times where I've been like, why are we calling? Like, just drop it. This is not complicated. Go ahead. Yeah, why do you think that is?
Well, you nailed it. It's a lot of money, and nobody wants to be the guy that makes that stupid boneheaded mistake that's captured on video that's going to cost him, you know, 50, 100, 150, 200,000 bucks.
Which is, I think, why people are like, it's Patrick Reed, why they think it's this guy they're taking that on, where I think every other guy, well, clearly not with Rory, but other guy out there is doing that. They probably call somebody in just to be safe, or at least a playing partner. And that's probably the issue is this Patrick Reed has always been looking, you know, it doesn't matter if it's on the golf course or off the golf course and things that he's done. His reputation was only built by himself. It's not made up. These are people that, you know, are trustworthy out there. So him doing this, that's where the outcry comes from, right? It's purely that it's the guy. I think if Rory was in that final group and that happened, nobody even would have batted an eye. But because it's him, there's these extra eyes on him at all times, and well-deserved, in my opinion.
Absolutely. I mean, he's the villain, right? He's the guy that everyone likes to pile on, and every sport has one. And he's not the first to be like that. I mean, even Seve used to get, raked over the coals every once in a while, you know, unwrapping a piece of banana bread, you know, or clearing his throat while somebody's getting ready to play. You know, it's every sport has its villain, right? And he just seems to be the whipping boy right now.
The thing about him, though, that kills me is people want to believe he wants to be the villain. My thoughts are a guy, I don't even know if this guy, I'm going to call it a team that has multiple burner accounts where they're arguing with people about why he's doing the right thing and blah, 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 blah.
Alleged. Again, back to evidence.
Sure. you have to say that. I don't. For anybody that they don't want to be the villain, they want to be the hero. They want to be Captain America. They don't want to be, you know, the Joker, which is what he's become a little bit here. So I don't agree in the fact that he wants to be the villain, but he has slowly become the villain in golf fan circles.
And the other thing too that sticks in people's craws is he doesn't care.
Mm-hmm.
He really does not care.
No.
If you like him or hate him, Yeah, I guess. And he knows he's a good player.
Yeah, if he showed contrition, then they might accept it more. But because he doesn't, they get irritated and irritated and irritated more. In the meantime, you know, he's just picking up more wins, more majors. He's at 9 PGA Tour wins now, and he's won a Masters.
And I did a little bit of, like, chatting with some people over the weekend, just trying to understand, you know, what the players out there are saying and the guys are saying. Nothing. they're literally saying nothing. And I think people believe that Xander Schauffele's quote that came out about him kind of calling him out is what everybody feels. It's really not. I think, you know, Patrick Reed's just the flavor of the week, and he's not going to win next week and 3 weeks in a row where we have to keep talking about it. You know, this was a good setup for him, and he won, and you say he even took a penalty, he still wins the tournament by what, 1-2 strokes?
At least three, yeah. And I mean, you know, I don't think they want to say anything about him because he seems like one of these guys that's motivated by the hatred almost. Ooh. Look what he did on Sunday, you know?
Yeah.
He basically put the pedal down and won by five, and it's like, you know what? Okay, if you're going to get in my face, let's go play some golf and I'll show you how to play. And he does that. He's done that in the Ryder Cup, you know, him and Rory, that match was just epic. I mean, yeah. One of the best matches of all time, love him or hate him, man, that was fun golf to watch. And they were both motivated by what the other one was doing.
Yeah. And I think we've said that before on the show. I mean, you know, we have to separate the person and the golfer. And the fact is that, you know, you may not respect him as a person, but, you know, as an athlete and, you know, a professional golfer who's now won over $30 million on the PGA Tour, you know, you have to at least respect his ability, whether you like his integrity or anything else to go with it.
Yep. No, I agree.
Yeah. The only other part, final part about that, that you mentioned earlier. I actually totally forget where my brain is going. I'm just done with Patrick Reed overall. What are your thoughts overall though on the tour right now and the product that they're giving out? Would that have been better of a Sunday with fans, or like, do you think he still gets it done with all the fans out there, Rich?
I think he's motivated by them. I honestly think he feeds off the crowd involvement. So I don't think it mattered to him one way or another. He's in his bubble, and a lot of great players are like that, right? They don't notice the fans really until it's over, kind of thing. You know, you talk about these big game pitchers or big game quarterbacks, and they don't hear the noise. They just focus. And he seems to be one of those guys. Any good professionals like that, Tiger's like that, right? He won't notice you standing beside him while he's out there playing his round.
You know what I want to know from you, Rich, though? Does all the things that occurred or transpired on Saturday, for you as a golf fan, with the experience that you have as being a rules official, does it make you, you know, appreciate the tournament any less? Does it make you want to tune out, or does it really make a difference to you?
No, it doesn't make me want to tune out. It does make me wish that some of the commentators were a little bit better informed.
Good point.
The good thing is they have brought in a lot of really good professional advisors and, you know, the guys from the tour that come on and explain the rule situation. So, but I wish some of these guys that consider themselves really good commentators would take the time to go that little extra mile and just try to understand where they're coming from when they explain these rules and have a pretty good understanding of where they're starting from. Some guys do. Some guys are really good at it, and some guys are just not.
I mean, at the end of the day, it is entertainment. I thought when they all sat there and gave their take, there was some entertaining thoughts from the players and Nick and Ian Baker Finch. I thought that was funny. I'll leave you with this, Rich. How much money do you need to make to take on that referee in the booth gig where you got to take on basically like the NFL that they trialed out this week where they had that ref in the booth giving takes on what's going on? Talk about an easy start to the job for that guy.
Yeah, no, it's when you're in the fishbowl like that, man, you got to be paid a big bucks, or you have a big set of, you know,
something.
Underwear. Yeah. So, no, it's a tough job. It really is. And especially when you're under the microscope like that.
Well, we appreciate you as our ref for the Flagstick Open. We got some new details coming out about that tournament soon. Scott, you got anything you want to tip off right now?
What? Yeah, mm-hmm. Why not? We'll, we've secured the venue. We're back at Equinel. We're back with our spring date. So the 2021 Flagstick Open Amateur Championship will be May 22nd, 23rd this year.
All right, let's leave this, Rich. We got a little bit more time. Our next guest is taking time. Give us your weirdest rules infraction you've ever had to deal with. there was one at the Flagstick tournament this year.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, our host.
Yeah. We've talked about on this podcast where a fellow peanut allergist had a ball land in a bag of peanuts, which mm-hmm. I'm so glad did not happen to me. But outside of that story, which we outlined on here, what's one of your weirder stories from a rules standpoint?
Well, the guy that stuck the tee in the drop zone comes to mind. But
all right, we've had enough.
Yeah, no, honestly, that's probably the weirdest one. And I'm not saying that to be mean or anything, but yeah, I mean, that just, I've got to think long and hard, and that's weird. That just, and I get it. It's a brain cramp, right? I totally get it, but it's
wait, hold on. You're still talking about me here.
No,
all right.
Mean,
so
no. I totally give you credit for being a brain cramp. I mean,
yeah.
Sure. You're trying to lock in, you're trying to get your round started, and all of a sudden it's like, I get a call on the radio and I think he just teed it up in the drop zone.
Hey, for the record, the spotter told me it was good. And I was just rattled.
So you blame the volunteer, right?
Opening, totally volunteer. Yeah. Totally
there's
thought
no
it was
way
in
you the... did that on purpose. There's no way.
And then this year literally hit one of the worst drives of my life and had to go drop in the drop zone. Second shot of the day. Every official was around me. It was like I was Patrick Reed out there.
Yeah.
It wasn't a crime. It was a mistake, people. Come on. All right, Rich. We appreciate you coming on. We appreciate your thoughts on Patrick Reed. We appreciate your hard work. Any final thoughts before we wrap things up with you?
Like I said, congrats on 100. And here's to many more. You guys are doing a great job. And I listen in when everyone comes out. That's a lot of fun.
Oh, there's that. There's that listener. We found him.
That's the guy.
My highlight for this year so far has been the Jerry D one. So if you can get more like that, man, that was just, I was killing myself laughing.
Yeah, I don't know if Jerry loved me. He didn't.
He knew you were that guy who teased it up in the drop zone.
Nice callback. Exactly. Jerry didn't like the callbacks, and neither do I when it's about me. So, Rich, I appreciate you coming on. Thank you for being our fill-in host when we need you, and thank you for all the work you do, and we'll catch up soon.
Thanks, man. Thanks for having me, guys, and, we'll see you at Equinel in May.
Ciao.
Sounds good. Cheers.
Cheers.
Rich, what a great deal. I mean, didn't need to bring me up, but well-deserved, I think.
It's too fun. I mean, really, I mean, we all have to laugh, right? We've all done stupid things on a golf course regarding rules of golf sometimes. So, yeah, it's funny. We can laugh now.
That is true.
So you got a mystery guest coming up next. I don't know who this is, so.
We do, but suddenly they're just not answering me. Uh-oh. Told me to text them at 7:30.
They've ghosted you.
They didn't text me. I gave them my number, so.
I got our 8:30 just confirmed. He's down in the States, so he's just confirmed with me. So
that's fair. I mean, our 8:15 is trying to get into the room right now. So I'm going to have to let him know. We're going to push him back till 8:15 when we confirmed. Why don't we grab a quick break real quick? We've been going for an hour. Let's grab a quick break, and we'll catch back up with – who knows what? I got to call our mystery guest. Maybe he'll come on, or she. You never know. You never know. And then we got a whole other hour and a half to go after this. So quick break, and we'll be right back. All right, we're back. I don't know if our mystery guest is coming, Scotty.
Uh-oh.
I don't know what's going on. They're important. So maybe they show up. I don't want to jinx it. You never know. Maybe I'll get a text saying, hey, I'm ready now. They're a busy guy. So or gal. Clearly,
or gal.
I said that twice.
You've slipped too many times already.
Yeah, it's clearly a man.
Why don't we talk a little bit about the tournaments this week? And did you watch? I mean, obviously, we've talked about a certain player already, but did you watch your buddy Paul Casey get his 15th European Tour win?
Yeah, Paul, that's awesome. In the interview after, just you could tell it meant teary. A lot. And everybody, like, I've never met Paul, probably because I have a restraining order against me, but preemptive. But I think if I did, like, everyone just says the nicest things. You've met him. He's done great things for you. Some fun photos. Just one of those guys you want to be around.
Yeah, definitely. You know, he's the guy you want to sit and have a drink with. And, you know, as he gets up there as well, I mean, I think 44 now, it's big for him. I mean, he knows this year is probably one of his last chances to make the Ryder Cup team. He's, you know, kind of moving up there. He's playing both tours. He's on the Player Advisory Council. He's doing a lot of things. And he knows that, you know, this is big for him, and that chances are he's going to not have as many opportunities to get wins in the future. So for him to be playing well, showing great form, winning in Dubai as well, which is a big event for the Europeans.
Big money for that tour. Yep.
It is big money. He talked about it, even the cool trophy and whatever, but you know, it was an iconic event for them in the fact that all of a sudden, you know, they came off the continent and all of a sudden head into the Middle East as far as tournaments. It was one of the first big ones there. And, you know, it's become such a big destination for everybody from the UK. And it just means that much more to him. And, you know, he's in Saudi this week and talking about the event there as well.
Yeah, it's cool. Did I see Abraham Answers heading over there as well to play in that tournament? I saw he was kind of posting about Dale just sleeping at all times. I don't know if he's going to find a hot dog.
He is definitely not going to find a hot dog. There's going to be no pork missiles in Saudi Arabia.
Make sure we bring that up with a couple of our guests coming up. Yeah, I thought it was cool. Those are two tournaments that I wish I got. Like, they were a little bit later. They aired them a little bit later. But I knew the results once I was up. So they're both great tournaments. The European Tour is getting into the heat of their good schedule and looking forward to that. Let's bring in our next guest here. Episode one, may as well bring him in for episode 100. Ryan DeVoe, Dez.
Wow.
He's in lockdown.
Man, the myth, the legend.
Yeah, he can't hear us right now, but there he is.
Yeah, what's up?
What's up?
Can Dez? You hear me now?
We're good.
We can hear you now.
How are you guys?
We're great. How are you, man? Lockdown for... I don't know why
number
you
two.
Came. Why did you come back?
I mean,
certain athletes are getting exempt coming back. Is that the understanding?
Yeah. I've heard a couple athletes got exempt coming back, so I thought I'd try my luck. But this is quarantine number two, so it'll certainly be my last. I think I'll be spending off weeks in the USA now.
So was that like the reason you did come back? You were hoping it would just they would be more lenient.
Yeah, I would
it?
Say I was like. I was like cautiously optimistic. I still thought that I would probably have to quarantine, but I think like the season's so long that I know that like if we, you know, have a 2 month stretch with a lot of events or something, I'll be like, man, I just want like some chill time. So I figured I'd just come home and chill. And I mean, it sucks. My quarantine situation isn't awful because I'm just in a house, you know,
with
got
the
a
roommates.
TV, can watch the games. No, I'm at my own spot, the place attached to my dad's shop.
Oh, you got your own spot. I didn't know that.
Yeah. So like, it's like attached and separated from my dad's business. So it's like a pretty good deal. Like I can like say hi to him, like through the door or whatever, or chat with him for a minute, stay socially distanced.
That's pretty sweet.
Stay socially distanced.
What was, what was the return like? You came back, you did your lockdown over the Christmas break, right? And then, you basically went back for one event and then right back into lockdown. So what was that one event like going back all that way for basically just a week?
Yeah, I mean, it was like it didn't feel – I guess it felt a little different because it was like the celebrity tournament and it was cool to see some athletes you'd like watched on TV and stuff. But
yeah, who'd you guys play with?
We played with – the one day we played with Roger Clemens and Toby Keith. They were both pretty cool. Nice. I guess they're like pretty close friends. We played with the guy who won like the amateur gross of the tournament. He's pretty good. Matt Avril is his name. He's a good player. Trying to think who else we played with. Can't really feel like I should know it off the top of my head.
Did you guys play with that Tiger guy?
Tiger King? Name, did you?
I think he's Tiger King. The guy from the guy from South America who buys his ways into the.
Oh yeah, yeah, Julio Bell.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. We did play with him, so I like saw a little bit about his story previously, and that he had like paid for spots or something in other pro-ams. I'm like, whatever, like this guy probably be all right. And then I had looked up his scores, and he shot like 103.94 or something. And like, not to say that I would do any better, but... or like, but you're like, oh man, this might be. I'm like. Talking to Mel, I'm like, you know, this might be something you got to like not pay attention to today. Like, you know, I'm sure he'll be a nice guy. And we got out there and he like played pretty good. Like, he didn't speak much English. He was a nice enough guy. I think it was like a weird, it was like a Stableford for him. He must have shot like around 80 or maybe even broken it the first day we played with him. But it was interesting to like see him play. That's for sure.
So now, what was that golf course like? Because it appeared pretty soft on TV, and you know the scoring was pretty low. But what was it like on the ground?
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely like there were pretty much, you know, the four or five holes that you had to play smart and like 30 feet every day, and par was a good score. But on the other holes, it was just basically like if you hit the fairway, you could make birdies. We could personally reach, even though we played in the cold a couple of days, we could reach like. At least two of the par fives, I think. Yeah, just the one on the front you couldn't reach, but there's three on the back and you could like reach them all. Conditions were right, so yeah, it was soft. I mean, that playoff was sick. I actually, because I stuck around because Kyle was caddying for Jess Korda, so I was like, oh, like see if he wins, I got nowhere to be. And you want to watch your buddies when they're like gonna close one out, and it was like a limited field. So yeah, I like watched the last three or four holes of that, and then obviously like Korda nailed that putt. That was pretty sick. But Danielle threw a dart in there. That was crazy that she made it on her.
What's your thoughts on a par three being the playoff hole, though? We talked about that last week on the show, and we had our thoughts on this.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
That's interesting. I didn't really – I think that for me personally, if 18 is a par three on the golf course, I don't mind it. But I wouldn't want to see an event that's not the case be like, let's go to a par three, if that makes sense. Like – if it's the finishing hole, I think it's fine. But I would think it'd be weird if you were like at Augusta and it was tied and you were like, yo, let's go to 12. See who's the best golfer. Like,
I feel like that's one of your worst examples.
I mean, it would be fun for the fans, but I feel like you either want to see like a risk reward par five or like a tough par four playoff hole, in my opinion.
For sure. So where's your head at going in this season? I know we talked last season, you weren't really sure how much longer this was something you were going to do. Obviously, last season was a great season. Where's your head at this year? This is a different year. Hopefully, at some point, we transition back to fans and normalcy, especially the way they're giving out vaccines right now in the States, about a million a day, a million and a half a day, which is not what we're doing in Canada. You know, where's your head at? It's crazy to think you're what, just hitting 30 and you're considered one of the vets out there at this point.
Yeah. I mean, for the fans part too, like it would be sick if fans got back. Obviously there are more important things than like going to golf tournaments and stuff like that. But like, it's certainly missed out there. And not to say that the LPGA gets the crowds that the men do, but like, there's certainly still people out there watching, especially on Sunday, if you're in the mix. But personally, I'm just Mel's obviously made her goals for the season, and obviously those are my goals too. You know, I feel like obviously Solheim Cup is a big goal, and we want to be on that team and earn our way on. We want to win another golf tournament, obviously this year, or more hopefully. But obviously our goal is to get back in the winner's circle. The Olympic race is super tight. I mean, there's good players ranked outside 50, like Jody and Bronte, and I'm sorry if I'm missing anyone else from England, but
Georgia,
the race for the top, yeah, well, the top two spots get in, and I think, like, the rankings are something like Charlie's, like, 35th, Mel's 37th, Georgia's 38th, like, it fluctuates every week, but they're, like, all super tight, so it'll be a cool race to follow. Like, definitely, we've got our, like, week-to-week and course-to-course and tournament-to-tournament goals, but long-term goals are certainly, to win again and make that Olympic team for sure. And obviously the Solheim.
The next event for the LPGA, you know, you guys return, you're actually going to be at Lake Nona, which, you know, the LPGA hasn't been there since they played the Solheim Cup. Any talk amongst the players? Are they excited about going back there because of the quality of that facility?
I haven't talked to anyone too personally about going there. I know, like, just generally from how the players and caddies and everyone reacts to certain courses, like, everyone is going to be fired up. It was kind of like a weird, like, double off season. You had CME and then the 3 or 4 weeks off or whatever, Diamond, which only 25 girls play, then another 4 weeks off. So it's kind of like a lot of people are taking their time at home too and, like, doing their own thing. But for sure, I would say that everyone's going to be fired up to, like, be there. And I've seen the course on TV and stuff, not really enough to remember, but probably going to be pretty good, I imagine.
Well, one course that's not going to be the same is where our next guest that's going to join us right now is at this week down in Phoenix. He's late because he was playing NHL.
Is this Peppers? I was just playing Chell to stop for this.
Yeah, but you can skate.
Oh, he's playing Peppers. No. You're playing real life Chell?
No, he was playing NHL. I don't think he can actually hear us yet, so we're just beating into him and he can't even defend himself. He's connecting to audio. There he is.
There he is. Whoa.
Hey, we were just saying how you couldn't skate. Any thoughts?
What's that?
So we were just saying how you couldn't skate. Any thoughts?
Oh, I can skate fine.
Peppers, I was saying you can probably rip your edges. You can probably rip your edges pretty good.
It's stopping. It's the problem.
Now, big congratulations, Peppers. You texted me the other day. Picked up your first ever hockey goal in real life. So we always remember. I think I remember my first.
You have the puck, Peppers?
I received a pass around my own blue line. It kind of got caught underneath my skate. And then I kicked it out to myself, skated up the ice, and scored the empty netter.
Wow. Did you raise it? Did you raise the puck or just slide it in?
No,
I kinda, like you've been there before.
Yeah, exactly. I kind of acted like I had done it before. Exactly.
Amazing.
Peppers, imagine seeing someone scoop the puck empty netter at beer league. You'd be like, so fired up for that guy.
Well, let me get off my internet because you guys are kind of slow right now. So hold on a second.
I got back in. That's good. I was just imagining like one of the guys hopping off the bench, getting the tape around.
Exactly.
Kyle's first, maybe last goal.
Yeah. Guy somehow has a Sharpie.
Yeah.
The imaginary camera.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Dude, like, you were a good hockey player. Like, I remember my first goal. I think I was like 4 years old. Do you remember? Yeah. Do you remember your first goal as a hockey player?
I remember my first, like, when we started playing like the rep teams, like what's novice, like 7 to 8.
Sure. Yeah.
6. Yeah. Like I remember playing like Tyke and stuff, but I don't remember like, specific games, but I remember when like we would play those games and stuff. So that was pretty cool. I remember like the sticks I had too. I used to love like getting a new hockey stick.
Well, Peppers has so many famous friends. Like every gear of his is like some guy that plays in the NHL.
I know. He's rolling up. He's like guy at beer league with like LA Kings bag, Florida Panthers socks. He's got Arizona Coyotes mitts.
They probably
his bucket's like the gold one from Europe, the top scorer's chrome visor.
Peppers goes to Shinny and says that he actually was paralyzed and he's just relearning the game. He used to play in the show. They just haven't heard of him. Yeah, that's all you got to say, and then you're good, right?
Bring a camera crew around.
Peppers, you're in Phoenix.
I am in Phoenix.
How is it down there? It's we talked a little bit, but a little bit of a different atmosphere right now.
The weather was perfect today. There's no fans today, but I think that starts tomorrow. So we'll see. Wednesday's always a fun day because I got the pro-am. So hopefully we get paired up with somebody cool.
Do you think the stretch is going to be a little bit different because of no fans? Like, obviously, I don't know if this is a hot take. I think Pebble might have its strongest field ever coming up just because the best players don't have to deal with the amateurs. Is Phoenix looking like the same kind of thing? And do you expect that to happen over the next couple weeks?
Phoenix, I think this week kind of has a normal strength of field because there's that tournament over in Saudi Arabia.
Right.
Yeah, and they're paying those guys so much money to go over there. So they're getting a lot of top guys, but some of the guys, you know, top guys also don't want to go that far. So they're going to stay here and play. So this strength of the field is pretty average, I think. Pebble Beach, I think you're right, could get a much higher strength of field than normal just because there's no amateurs. And then it's also only two courses instead of three. So guys love that.
How weird is Waste of Management going to look though with 5,000 fans a day, not a million for the week? I mean,
I guess the finishing stretch, like 16, they've got everything built up, and I think it's going to look pretty normal. That's where 4,950 fans are going to be.
Sure.
Socially distanced in brackets.
Of course.
Yeah. But then you get to 17 and there's no grandstands, 18, there's no grandstands, and it looks totally different than normal. So just those last few holes, I think is going to be a little different.
And last time we talked, you know, you were still with Corey and now you got this new season. What's that adjustment been like? You and Mark Hubbard now working together, different adjustment. Like what's been the start of the season like for you with that? Awful way to read that question, by the way, but I'm going to run with it.
Yeah, it's been fine. It's been really easy to get adjusted to working for Mark. He's a really laid back guy. He's got a good sense of humor. Clearly, I'm sure you guys saw the snail putt.
Yeah,
easy to be around. He's a sports fan too. So we've got pretty similar personalities. So it's been pretty easy to get adjusted to working for him.
Peppers, I didn't know you were going to be on this call. I got to ask you, did you know he was going to do that? And if you didn't, how did you maintain the posture you maintained?
I love the whole did you plan? Not know? Like, it's like Pepper started writing in his book, like, for next year, it breaks this way. But yeah, it's probably like, what the fuck am I doing right now?
If you watch, makes a note, he's like, oh, player found something. Inside, 20 inches lower on putter.
If you watch closely, you can kind of see my head bob up and down, and I am laughing. And then I kind of turn around and look at the other guys and I'm like, what was that? No, I did not know it was coming, but it was one of those situations where we were like three shots off the cut line and nobody in the group is making the cut. We're all walking down the fairway kind of joking around or whatever, and then we got on the green and he did that. So yeah, caught me by surprise. But
do either of you have other stories about like that where it's like it's that last stretch, you know, the cut is a dream and then some? Funny stories of guys or gals doing something ridiculous in those situations?
I've heard one. I forget what course it was, but like the two guys are on the tee, they're both going to miss the cut and they make a bet with each other. Like, I bet you can't make par playing the entire hole with your driver or whatever, par five. So they go driver, 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 and then tap it in with his driver.
Like on the PGA Tour.
Yeah.
What about you, Des? Anything you've seen?
I don't know. Nothing really comes to mind for me, actually. Like when you're like, I mean, because you all know it when you're going to miss the cut. But like, I don't know. I feel like we've always, like, as cliche as it is, like played it out. I don't have any like funny, like screw it moments when you were going to miss a cut, unfortunately.
I just hope to have a moment when I make a cut carrying a bag.
the moment that we all dream of in the Stableford format is having a, let's see, what is it? Having a 10-point lead coming to the last tee and being able to putt it off the tee and putt it down the fairway.
Yeah.
And then you pick your ball up and you've won no matter what.
That's so hands in
the air, like on the tee. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, don't even tee off. You're like, I win. See you guys.
Grab that puck and head for the locker room. Kyle, what happened too right after that that putt? What did Mark say to you right afterwards? Anything?
I can't remember off the top of my head what he said. I picked up the bag, we headed over to scoring, and I handed my bib over to whoever was there. And then the guys came out of the scoring area and they're like, they just played that slow motion on the TV. So as soon as it happened, I pulled up my phone and it was already, I could already see it on there. So
Amazing.
That's gold. So what's the plan from here? I mean, season hopefully is heading in the right direction. You know, it sounds like they're handing out vaccines to anybody right now in the United States. Do you have any idea when, you know, the PGA Tour, have they given you anything around that of like caddies or anything getting vaccines or the players?
No, they haven't told us anything about that. We're getting tested. I did learn today, if we do happen to get our hands on a vaccine, then we are done getting, you're exempt from being tested.
How do you prove that? Do you get like a...
There's some sort of a card, okay, a medical card that you get once you get vaccinated. So that's one of my priorities when I get home is try to figure out how to get a vaccine, but I don't know.
With all those famous friends giving you the hockey equipment, why don't you ask them to stop handing over skates and maybe hand over an extra vaccine?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Sure. I don't think it's going to be that easy, unfortunately.
How often are you getting tested during a week?
So for this week, I would arrive on Monday, get tested Monday. If there was a charter flying, which I think there might be a charter flying from Phoenix over to Pebble next week, if I'm on that charter, I get tested Saturday to be able to get onto the plane. So sometimes twice a week, but normally once a week.
What about you, Dez? Is it different?
When we're not on site, we have to like test at home before we get to an event, and then we'll test on Monday. And then obviously in my case, when I came home just for the 1 week, I had to test again. So I ended up testing 3 times in like 10 days when I left Canada and then came back from that event.
Has it got any better? Like, are you used to it at this point?
Yeah, I mean, at this point, you're just used to it. Like, it's, you know, the one nurse was like, the first couple of times I did it, or second or third time, she was like, it's just going to feel like when you jump in a pool and like chlorine gets in your nose and you don't plug your nose. And I was like, all right. I've done that before, so this must be fine.
Instead of like a 2x4 going up there. Yeah.
Kyle, well, for you guys going, you know, you're heading up to Pebble. Any talk amongst the players how they might change up the golf course up there because they don't have the amateurs as far as a different setup?
Well, there's only 2 courses this year, right. So it's Pebble and Spyglass. And they could make the pins a little bit tougher.
Yeah.
That's about it. I would say just put them a little bit closer to the edges is about all they can do.
Yeah, there's probably not a lot they're going to do as far as speeding up those green surfaces anyways. They're so small anyways. And
yeah, right.
Pretty tricky. Yeah, and, you know, are people talking about that, the fact that they're not going to have to play Monterey Peninsula Club, or they're happy with just the two? I mean, you know, it may be different for you guys, but obviously for a rookie going in there, that's very hard if they have to go in there and, you know, they never get an opportunity to play all 3 courses before they have to go out and play.
Yeah. I think the guys are definitely excited. It's only 2 courses now, and we're going to miss the amateurs, but at the same time, it's also nice that we, you know, it's just us. So,
yeah.
How sweet parking these days, not having to
The parking is great. The caddy dining has improved. Like at the Sony Open, normally we're in a tent out like behind the driving range, and now this year we're like on the ocean. It was sweet. So there has been, and the other nice things about COVID is there's no traffic. Hotels are cheap, flights are cheap. So there are a few positives, but yeah.
Save some money because it's going to get negative real quick, probably. Well, boys, we'll let you go. We appreciate both of you coming on. Both of you have been amazing in this podcast. Dez was episode 1 and 10 others. And Kyle, you've been on a bunch. We appreciate both of you coming on. And hopefully, Kyle, we can see you soon. I mean, Canadian Open hopefully this year. You think it's going to happen?
I hope so. Hopefully it's not in Buffalo.
Canada. That'll be the worst.
We can't promise that. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
All right, boys. We'll let you go. Go ahead, Kyle.
This is the centennial episode, right?
100.
It is.
Nice. All right. Well, congratulations.
Thanks, boys. We appreciate it.
See you guys.
I think combined, you make up for at least 10% of the episode. So we appreciate both of you coming on. Thanks. And enjoy your quarantine, Dez. And Kyle, enjoy your next couple weeks.
All right. See you guys.
Peace, boys.
Thanks, guys.
Good lads.
Absolutely. Should we bring in another good lad here?
Sure.
Oh my God, this is an all-star lineup.
Crazy.
Let's make sure he's ready. You never know with this guy.
Well, he's only been in the waiting room for a half an hour, I think.
Yeah, he was ready to go 45 minutes ago. He's just fired up. Probably has a script ready.
No doubt.
At some point. How long? We're not bringing him in yet. Let's actually set a timer. Over under. I don't even have an over. Does he bring up the big break on his own?
Ooh. Yes. Let's not do it and see what happens.
You think so? Okay. All right.
All right. I'll start the stopwatch.
All right. I like that. All right, ladies and gentlemen, one of our favorites, Windsor's Finest, David Byrne. David, what's happening, buddy?
Wow, Windsor's Finest is quite a compliment. Thank you.
Well, is it?
Is there a lot to choose from?
I mean, there's not a lot to choose from, but it's still a compliment.
That's fair. How are you, man? You've been working on the game in the winter here, but how are you?
Yeah. Just trying to keep busy like everyone else in Ontario. Enjoying some garage time, hitting balls, like finding garages to hit balls in and trying to,
just random garages. Like just,
yeah, I just go around
the
random
neighborhoods or what?
You sound like me as a skateboarder trying to find empty pools back in the day.
Exactly.
You got a garage?
There's a bunch of dudes I play golf with down here. Oddly enough, we call ourselves the Misfit Group, and some of them have, like the super speed sticks in their garage or something, or mats, so I can go hit some balls. So I wander over there a couple nights a week and trying to kind of be a golfer, go for runs and do the appropriate stuff.
So you're playing the Toronto Players Tour this year, there. What's the other plans for you? Are you going to try McKenzie Tour Q School or anything along those lines?
It depends on obviously the border, right? Like I would be signing up for the BC qualifier if so. I mean, I have this idea and all these thoughts, but I mean, the reality is that I don't have any money to do it. So,
is that a problem?
Yeah. I mean, you just have to pay for stuff usually.
Okay. So, all right.
Not if you're Scott, everything's free for Scotty.
No,
but, you know what? I'm going to do the Toronto Players as much as I can. And, kind of some exciting stuff here in Windsor. A friend of mine is opening up a place here called the Swing Factory Windsor, and we're going to have some Trackmans, which no one around here really has that you have a lot of access to. So I'm going to be doing some teaching out of there.
Nice.
Going to maybe hopefully doing some fitting possibly for Callaway, and just there's just a couple, like a Canadian company, Birdie to Bogey. We're going to try to promote them. And obviously I kind of usually have a tie with G4, so probably bring them in as well. So between that, giving lessons and going back to playing, and then probably keeping one night at the bar at the restaurant I work at, then I think it's going to be a pretty, pretty busy summer.
That does sound busy.
Hopefully.
You can throw on your camera, buddy. We find your face okay.
Oh, I think, hold on, am I here?
Screen or is it broken?
No, I just, you know, I'm ugly.
Oh, there he is. There,
okay. I love it. You mentioned G4. One of the best flexes of 2020 was when Patrick Reed started wearing G4, and you went on your Instagram and you posted him in G4, and then you posted the list of all the players that wear G4 on their website and circled your name without Patrick Reed beside it. Hey. And I just wanted to let you know how much I appreciated that.
Okay, yeah, that was very, honestly, it was pretty humbling in a way. But here's the thing.
For
okay?
Who?
I mean, it's very nice, but here's the thing. It's like, everyone in Canada seems to know or message me that I know, oh, hey, David is where's G4, knows a guy, whatever. So this guy, you know, our everyone's boy Pat there starts wearing G4, and I am just getting messages like flying into the DMs, like, oh, hey, buddy, wow, you're so cool. Wow, this lost all the breath, blah, blah, blah. And then G4, somebody came, I read an article on maybe Golf WRX, and it was like, yeah, you know, they don't like, there's not an affiliation. He has to buy his stuff or whatever. And then I found this article and it was like Phil Mickelson, pretty good. Tom Watson,
okay,
pretty good.
Yeah.
Kevin Na, pretty good.
Yeah, okay.
David Byrne.
Who's him?
Pretty good. So it's, you know what? Yeah, it was, I didn't even mean it to be a flex, but like, you know what? You guys probably know Mark Elgner down there in Modern Golf.
Yeah, for sure.
Hey, every day, anytime Reed plays well, I actually beat him to the punch the other day. He was working, but I was like, hey, you forgot to message me today about Pat Reed leading out. He is on me every time. It's incredible.
What else are you going to fill your schedule with tournament wise? I mean, obviously, you know, TPT is going to do a lot of it, but is there other pro-ams, other things you're going to do? I mean, you're pretty well known now on the pro-am circuit. They probably see you come and run the other way.
Yeah. I mean, I reached out to Justin O'Leary and I think they plan on having their pro-am at Cedar Bray. I won it last time I was there. So I'd like to go back that one. There's one at Muskoka Lakes that they canceled. I'd won it the year before as well.
So I know all the places where I won't be playing.
We already said, if there's a pro-am David Burns at, just pay and then go home.
Forget it.
You're not exactly. Winning. You do not win.
I'll just go to the dinner.
You should go to Pebble Beach in a couple weeks and try to Monday because you're going to win. It is a pro-am, right?
Hey, Joe, you know what? I think it's the whole like relaxed atmosphere. I never really knew that I really liked it. And then my coach, guy from actually Peterborough, Luke Lefebvre, runs these things called the Oxford Golf National Pro-Am down in Las Vegas. And so I would start going out there playing these pro-ams and I would shoot like 62, 63. And I was out there just having a good time with a bunch of normal dudes, you know? And I was like, damn, I like this. And then it just seems to kind of be a thing. Yeah. I mean, also I'm playing in pro-ams and I would say that most of the guys I'm playing with are probably behind a desk a little bit more than I am, even though I work in a bar, you know, they're kind of like the daily grind and all that of working in the golf shop. So, you know, I would say that I'm probably supposed to do or hopefully slated to.
How do you keep a regular training schedule besides, you know, just obviously trying to find people's garages? I mean, you know, during the season, you know, how much are you practicing?
Scott, I'll be really honest with you. Until really 3 weeks ago, I haven't, I'm talking about even like in the summer, like when I went to the Canadian Canada Life series, we got 45 minutes on the range and everyone was kind of like, this is crazy. Like you got to walk down here and then the tee's over there. And I was like, I haven't had 45 minutes to practice in 3 years.
So you're loving it and everybody else is bitching.
Right. You know, I kind of just had some time to think as everyone has in the pandemic. And I realize that golf is going to be such a huge part of my life, hopefully playing, but if not in some way or another. And so I'm just kind of back on that. I'm a golfer mindset. It's pretty easy to do and I'm not really legally allowed to work, but yeah, in the summer, I think this year with that Swing Factory opening and some courses in the area, I think I'm really going to try to do a job. Like golf is going to be like a 6 a.m. to kind of 9 p.m. sort of thing, hopefully.
Do you put a lot less pressure on yourself now than maybe you did back in the day when, you know, kind of we first met when you were playing the Canadian tour? Or are you a different golfer, do you think?
My life would be drastically different if I was the person I am now when I played then. I'm a completely different human being than I was 6 years ago.
In what way? In what way?
I went through a couple of things personally and I was always somebody who kind of got uptight and really worried about money. And I, as a professional golfer, everyone kind of does, but I've kind of always done that most of my life and, was in a relationship kind of West. Things went pretty bad, pretty poor on the abuse side of things. And so came back and kind of tried to get my life back together. And I would say I was pretty broken. And I feel like now, like, I would, you know, even within the last maybe year and a half, I would say two Septembers ago, I woke up one morning and I just felt different and I play golf different. I think my life different. If I don't practice for a week, I know that I can still go out and shoot probably the same number that I was if I was grinding all the hours. Now I'm just trying to find a happy medium to where I can improve it, like incrementally, right, with putting in the proper hours and time. So yeah, it's been kind of like a 4 year little road to like self-discovery sort of thing, but I'm a much different person. Yeah.
That's cool.
Than I in golfer than I was then. I'm actually a good ball striker now. I was,
you were a scrappy player. Back
yes. Then. That is really politically correct. Welcome to 2021.
That's funny.
Yeah. How are you guys doing?
Well, we're doing the same as you. We're trying to, you know, make our way through this pandemic and do the best thing we can. But, you know, the fact that we got to 100 episodes with this show is, you know, something to celebrate as it is. So we're happy you're
up in the top 10 there too, I see.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
It's all you, man. Your fame.
Yeah. 10 years ago, that fame.
What was that?
What's that?
What was that that you were famous for?
Oh, you. I won the Big Break Indian Wells, guys. I reached
9 minutes and 36 seconds. So you he goaded you into it.
He did.
Prior to you did.
I just rewatched it. I did the Golf Pass 7-day free trial.
And that's what you chose to watch?
My girlfriend has never seen it, and my best friend, she has never seen it either.
Okay.
And wow, man. Did I think I said some funny things 10 years ago?
Take two.
I want to know what your girlfriend thought. Was at that point, she was like, you know what?
I'm out.
Because you're batting above your average already, Dave, and now you're throwing that at her.
Yeah, no, well, correct, yeah. So she watched it, and she thought, she's like, wow, I look so young, which I was 10 years ago. and then she's like, wow, that's just, she's like the sweetest person ever. So she was just like, wow, that's so cool. Like, I wish I would have watched it then. And my best friend, Sammy, she was like, when they first started watching it, and like the first episode we did like the preview episode, and it was like, hey, I'm David. And they both like, oh my God, that's you. I'm like, guys, this was 10 years ago. I know what the result is. So
you obviously know I won. Like, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah. Settle down. Yeah.
So, but it was fun to watch it. Then my mom got it on her TV as well. I want to say that she watched it like 3 times in 7 days. We got through it 1 time in a week, and that was nice to watch, and it was fun. But that's cool. That's good.
That's awesome.
Well, we appreciate you coming on, man. It's been a while. Obviously, the last time you came on was pre-pandemic. We planned, to get together. And obviously that wasn't able to happen. And hopefully this year it is. You know, I'm an elite caddy. Clearly, everybody elite. Yeah, like I'm so good. I know how to read a yardage book now. So
that's fantastic.
Yes, and which
they're pretty tough sometimes.
Yeah, it is tough. You know, plus you go to the plus and minuses. Like, you don't actually have to read those. So
The ball goes the same way.
Optional.
Exactly, it's optional. But you know, Toronto Players Tour caddies this year. You and I were linking up.
We got to do that for sure.
We're getting a win out there for sure.
Oh, my God. What insight into my mind on the golf course. This is
I might have to come along just a video then.
Oh, the whole time, all I'm going to be saying is, hey, man, you won the Big Break. This is nothing.
And then I'm just going to laugh every single time.
Well, we do have a couple of events that are up this way this year, so even closer. So, we got one. There's one in Equinox where we have our Flagstick open. So Steph can definitely show. He knows that course inside and out. Equinel in Kempville, south of Ottawa.
Dave, did you know when you go to say you hit one off the tee and it goes into the water and you have to go the drop zone, did you know you're not allowed to tee it up in there? Because I didn't.
You didn't know?
I didn't know. So,
well, then congratulations on learning how to read a yardage book. Then.
It was an honest mistake.
Yeah, right.
Hey, I'm really good at carrying the bag.
Yeah.
Don't
have you thought about, with that theory, have you thought about carrying for Pat Reed? Have you thought about reaching out?
We'd be great.
We would
be great together. Top pairing. All right, we'll be in touch over the next break. Nice to see you. I'm glad you're putting the work in. I like to see where you're at. You're just a happy guy. Always have our laughs over our texts. So appreciate you coming on the podcast again, and look forward to seeing you in the summer, buddy.
Yeah, no problem, guys. Thanks again.
Have a good one, man.
See ya.
Oh, he's the best.
Just hilarious, dude.
He is funny.
All right. So I got our mystery guest coming back on.
What?
We're going to have to tighten things up. We're going to go bang, bang, bang here.
All right. I can delay our other one.
No, they're coming. So we got we got two more coming up. And then it looks like we have back-to-back mystery guests. You ended up finding a mystery guest for me?
I did, yeah.
Uh-oh.
That's okay. You'll be worried. Fine.
Am I?
Yeah, it'll be fine.
You got to let it.
It'll be funny, actually, the fact that they are coming on. So
okay, that's exciting. you have their next guest. You're one of his coaches. Yeah. Did you even send him the link? Or
I did. He said he's about to jump on.
Oh,
he's
nice.
Getting ready to play in the Jones Cup, big amateur event down in Sea Island, Georgia. Team Canada member Noah Steele is going to be with us in a second here.
Look forward to that.
Yeah,
he took a bunch of my money two summers ago and the golf course, and he didn't come back to Kingston.
He's asking for a meeting ID. No, you don't need one. Do you see him out there?
I don't see him. You're going to have to just send him the link as per usual here. All right. Somehow the old dude teaches the young grasshopper
the young buck
how to do tech.
Hard to believe. The young buck you think would be able to get in on Zoom right away.
I know, right?
I know, kids, eh?
Kids.
Ah, there he is.
Golf Canada member. No, Steele. Team member. How are you, buddy?
I'm good, thank you. Sorry about the technical difficulty there.
Well, that's okay. You know, 21-year-old. Yeah. 21, 23-year-olds. No. Jeez.
Really? That's crazy. I think back to 15-year-old Noah that worked at the golf shop back in the day. And there he is.
This guy, different kid.
That kid was the size of one of his quads now.
Probably the case.
Yeah. No, what's up, man? How's the States treating you?
It's been good. I mean, it's been nice, honestly, to be able to have practice time and that kind of thing, you know, with everything going on. Having the ability to be able to do that, let alone, you know, now to have been able to get in two events. I played the South Beach amateur, and then I played the Orlando International kind of on opposite ends of Christmas, and had a couple weeks to do some more practicing in Texas where I was basing out of, and now in Sea Island for the Jones Cup before I get the opportunity to head home for a little while. So so the U.S. has been good. Yeah, we've had pretty decent weather overall where I've been, and that's been good for the game and everything.
How is it there now? Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I was going to say, being a Canadian down there, right, like knowing what our protocols are, like how different is it? And it's not like we talk usually on the podcast, we talk to the pros, right? And they're in the private jets and everything, and they're being catered and they're being tested. You're not part of that same type of world. So what is it like? Tell us from just a normal like world standpoint, how much different is it down there?
From a world standpoint, not like tournament and how amateur tournaments are.
Yeah, just like, COVID, go into the grocery store. Well, yeah, the whole nine yards.
Yeah. So honestly, when I first came down, they have the majority of the same things in place, you know, and in some places, things being absolutely mandatory, they're more so required. So you kind of have a little bit more of the freedom to choose your own way and kind of go along with what you believe as well within the rules and regulations of whether it be government or state rules and guidelines and that kind of thing. So it's still present. I mean, honestly, if you kind of can create your own little routine and kind of have a circle of people you can, you know, be around all the time, I feel like you can kind of somewhat control what's going on. But, you know, I was lucky enough to stay with my girlfriend's family and that kind of thing. And, you know, we didn't have any issues, which was great. But, you know, just even you get up in the morning, everybody, there's six of us total. Everybody goes a different direction, you know, and you're coming in contact with all different kinds of people. So the fact that we were lucky enough to not have anything take place was awesome. So it's the same, but it's different. But it's also a different place. So I guess you got to respect that and that kind of thing. But, then when it came to tournaments, really, you know, they basically just ask you to monitor your symptoms and that kind of thing and basically do your part. And, you know, kind of I would say the max really, other than the U.S. amateur, obviously the USGA has the ability to, you know, pay and run a testing protocol and that kind of thing. But for these events, they have you monitor and that kind of thing and basically try to get you to just quarantine basically at your hotel and kind of eat away from restaurants and stay away from big crowds and that whole thing. And, you know, they would maybe do temperature checks and that kind of thing, but, you know, grab the flag stick with the towel and rakes and hand sanitizer, that kind of thing, and hope for the best. So, I hope that answers your question. That's kind of how it's been.
For you, I haven't seen you in a while, and I always wanted to know, like, you know, you finished college, you hope to have this great first year in an amateur career and COVID happens. And, you know, I know your mindset is like, hey, well, we'll just kick it and we'll keep going. Right. But like, how hard is it knowing, you know, technically everything's almost been delayed a year? Like, how have you been able to just have that ho-hum mindset, good head on your shoulders, and be like, hey, I'll get there eventually?
Yeah. Patience has been tested. Big time. You know, but Golf Canada's been huge, and, you know, I was lucky enough to play the Trustee Cup and, you know, have various of our, you know, people that are our head leaders and stuff like that outside of, you know, just our main coaches. And, you know, they talked about not wanting 2020 to basically just be a lost year. And I really don't feel like it was that way. I think I've gotten over not being able to play certain events I was looking forward to playing, or basically having this year, but last year, in addition to kind of the college events I had to finish up. So, I feel like I've been able to move past that somewhat quickly and just accept that, hey, there's a lot of people that have it a lot more, you know, worse off than I do and that kind of thing. And if anything, I've been able to get better in ways, which is kind of the goal. Having that with, you know, the leadership with Golf Canada and, honestly, really just wanting the best for us and to keep us safe. Like, you can't be upset or frustrated with that. So, now moving forward, basically within things that get thrown at us, we're trying to have basically a plan A, which is if everything goes well, we can just rock and roll. And then a plan B and a plan C, and kind of backups to, you know, be able to just have places to play or be able to practice, maximize time. I'm in a situation now where I'm learning how to run off of 6 months in the U.S. rather than having a visa. And even that's a little bit different with trying to coordinate things and, you know, whether it's quarantine or testing or stuff like that, you know, playing a factor. So I'm going to try and make this year as normal as possible. But I don't think I felt like I gained a lot this past year in ways that were separate from competing. But when I got the chance to compete again, it was like, oh my goodness. So
you're pretty excited, that's for sure.
Yeah, I was excited and anxious and all those good things, but it's worked out.
What's it look like for you this week? I mean, Jones Cup, big event. It's become a big amateur event. How's the course there? It's your second time there, so you get to know the property a little bit better. How's your preparation been so far?
Yeah, I got in yesterday afternoon, met our assistant coach Andrew Parr here, and Laurent Demarchet, if I said his last name wrong.
Yep, you got it.
His buddy, but prep was good. We just had a kind of a relaxing afternoon and get settled in and that kind of thing. We spent the day, we practiced for a little while at Sea Island Golf Club and then played 9 at Ocean Forest because we had a little bit of a later tee time. But I was telling Laurent driving in even, I was like, man, you're going to love this place.
It's Disneyland.
Just trust me. And, you know, they do an awesome job taking care of us and whatnot. But historically, and then, like the pro was saying in the shop today, that, you know, inclement weather and stuff like that has become, kind of a little accessory on the event, I guess, whether it's rain or wind and that kind of thing. I didn't feel like I could have enough layers on today, and whatnot. But I think just coming back and realizing this is an event where you just got to try and control what you can control. And it's going to be tough for everybody. The golf course is in perfect shape, which, you know, takes some things that, you know, you might have to worry about or take into account, just kind of out of the game and you just kind of go ahead and do your best. So the event starts on Friday and it's 3 rounds and finishes up on Sunday. So looking forward to getting to it. And
hopefully. Then you get to fly home and quarantine for a bit, right?
Yeah, you got it. I think it'll be 8 or 10 weeks now, something like that. But who's counting?
Really? Oh, mom's going to be ready for you. She's going to have full feast ready for you. We're looking forward to getting you back. Saying this guy off the top, I think I need another game against you. The last time you took my money, so I think I need like 20 shots this time. You're getting better. I'm getting older and fatter, so I'm gonna need a little bit more. But we're gonna let you go. We got a bunch more guests. I apologize, we have to cut you early today, Noah. But we're looking forward to it. We'll be trying at the Jones Cup this week. Safe travel, stay safe out there. Thank you for your constant support of the podcast, and looking forward to the next year and following your career. We know, hey, your patience will pay off. That's what we're all thinking.
Well, I appreciate it, guys. Congrats on what you're doing. It's awesome to listen in, and thankful to be a part of it. So thank you so much.
Of course, man. Have a good one.
Okay. All right. You take care.
Peace.
Bye.
Awesome, dude. Great kid.
He is. Great kid. Great kid.
Kid, he's 23. So hard.
I know.
Like, but for me, I mean, that's how I know I'm old.
Yeah.
Right? Where it's like, good kid.
Well, you got to think. Yeah. You got to think.
You've hit old man stage.
Yeah.
Good kid.
Good kid. Yeah. Derek and I, I mean, been around
him. He could have his own kid, but good kid.
I know. It's wild. I mean, we've been hanging around him now since he was 15, and, you know, he's matured a lot in those 8 years, and obviously very self-reliant and you know, just a great person to work with and work so hard. And, you know, if there's somebody to be able to take advantage of a year that's lost, it's him. That's for sure.
Yeah. Positive attitude. Didn't know where you're going with. I thought you were taking advantage of him in some way, but
no.
I mean, you were the one that made the comment about play, like, what was it? Something about following teenage girls on the golf course. It was your words. I'm not going to. No, you don't want to go down that road. We got another guest. I don't know where he is.
I do.
It's 8:40. Nice. 3 minutes
Nothing
late.
Showed.
Now, this right. one, this guy.
Oh, he was 8:45. I think you changed him.
Oh, I did. And you didn't tell him. Right.
Yeah.
We're going to cut him. He only has 5 minutes now.
We're bad producers.
This isn't good because this is a guy that.
He'll talk.
He'll talk. And I need him. I need him to let me play his golf course.
Well, yeah, but you don't want to play it this year because you'll be playing on Thames. So
yeah, we chatted a little bit. Brad Lawrence is coming up. There he is. We'll bring him in. And yeah, he said maybe end of the year we'll see, but maybe we'll bring him on. We'll put him on the spot.
All right, let's do that.
Oh, Brad, my guy.
There he is. What's he got going on there? Let's get the. Is that a Brampton Cup?
I think it's a spinach smoothie. This guy is a pillar of health. And he's got those new shoes that are quick.
I go 10% faster in those things.
How much higher do you jump?
At least an inch and a half.
But can you land?
I was going to say, do you jump, actually? I was going to leave it at that.
Have you not seen his Instagram story? Have you not seen the famous jump at Credit Valley?
I'm going to need to see this.
Oh, you have to see it. Over three flights goes. Three flights goes.
Yeah.
Think yeah. about that.
But wait, hold on. Not on top of each other, right?
No. Like lengthwise. Okay. It's incredible. It's like Evel Knievel.
High up in the air. It's forward. Yeah, I got a lot of forward momentum.
Yeah, triple jump guy. Big triple jump guy.
Exactly. How are you, Brad?
I'm doing good. How are you guys?
Good. We're glad to have you on. Glad for you to join the mayhem that is tonight.
Yeah, we're just trying to keep it on the rails right now. We got 6 minutes, so whatever you got to tell us, we got to be quick. what's up? I mean, you and I were chatting a little bit. Big change
fishing for
you.
Some free golf.
Yeah, exactly. Just looking for some free golf anywhere and anytime. But yeah, you're down at Hamilton now, home of the last Canadian Open. Let's chat about that. Are you excited about joining? I mean, it's fair to say an illustrious golf club.
Oh, it's fantastic. I had 2 weeks of seeing people and meeting people, and then we went back into lockdown. So unfortunately there's snow on the ground, and where there wasn't snow, there was construction when I started. So,
oh boy. Well, you know, things can only look up, right?
Yeah. I'm looking forward to, I think it's August next year when I get to see a real golf course for the first time.
Yeah, I apologize that I will be there like probably the first day. You can ask me to leave. I understand. Is it different for you, like, mentally going to a place like that with the history it has and, like, almost getting over, like, that history and just being like, at the end of the day, it is just a golf course and I am still doing the same job?
Yeah, at first I was kind of like, you walk around, there's the Rory plaques and there's the Canadian Open plaques and, like, it's like, holy crap. Like, the first time I played it, I played the par 3 course with them. They asked me if I'd come on board and looking at 18 going, oh, that's where Rory hit it. That's where, like, that's the line he took off.
That's where Stefan carried a bag.
I'm like, look, and I played it once in 2014. I'm like, I hit that guy's house off the first tee. That's 80 yards right of where Rory hit it, but it's the same line.
Well, when we went there for the Canadian Open the first day, Scott, I mean, you remember everything. I don't know why I'm saying this. So we walked the course on Tuesday, I believe, and this random guy comes up to us, and he's like, oh, like, what are you guys doing, blah, blah, blah. And we're just checking it out. He's like, Well, I used to caddy here as a kid. This guy was ancient. Like, he must have been in his 70s, if I'm not, like...
170s, yeah, maybe.
Yeah, he was real old. And he was like, I used to caddy back here a kid. Like, yeah. And he was talking about, like, in the 50s and 60s, and he was telling us stories. It's just crazy, like, the history of that place. So don't feel bad. I'm sure you're not the first one to hit a house off one.
I took the VJ line and missed it by about 70 yards.
That's normal for you, is it not?
It's one of the straighter ones.
Yeah. I mean, you guys have a lot of exciting things you're doing there. Obviously, Ralph Bauer there as well, Emma DeGruy. You've got quite a team. Emerson Mahoney, as you mentioned. You know, what's the big deal? What's the big vibe that you guys have going on there?
Right now, it's trying to survive lockdown, but we're looking forward to kind of, for the junior program, especially the rebirth, that
yeah,
it's struggled the last few years. And members are excited to have me on board and have Ralph on board to kind of bring it back. And as Emerson put it when he applied, it's bringing Hamilton back to what it used to be.
That's cool.
Like bringing back the old, I don't know exactly what it was, but the old feelings about the place and making it incredible again. And we're really looking forward to making some cool programming and some cool stuff for kids and really having some fun with that short course.
Which is different than, I would say, most public courses with that, you know, that history, right? Where it's not about the kids and bringing it back to the fun and its roots, right? It's just about, unfortunately, being like a private golf course that you're lucky to even be around. So it's really cool to hear that that's not the direction they're trying to go.
Yeah, I mean, it is still a very high-end private golf course, but there's a lot of members that are younger, from what I understand, that have kids that they want the kids in the golf.
Yeah.
So they found someone who can do it, and hopefully we can make some pretty cool stuff and get everyone excited to play some golf.
I mean, you've got a major advantage there with the short course, the kids. Well, I keep calling it the kids course. We talked about that when I first, you know, used to go there at a friend that was a member, and I'd go there every year, and they talk about it being the kids course or whatever. But, you know, having that short course, a major advantage over a lot of other facilities, especially when you're trying to, you know, start new golfers and develop those new golfers.
Well, absolutely. I mean, I've never been at a place with a par three course before, and I played it with them that one time, and I'm looking at this going, we could do so many things with starting from the edge of the green, working our way back with kids to get them ready to play the big course. But even the short course, like you put an 80-year-old on the short course from the white tees, they could hit driver pitching wedge into the second hole.
I'm looking forward to that next year when I'm 80. Yeah.
Damn it. Beat me to it.
Now, we only allow one host of the Flagstick podcast on the course.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Sorry. I got family ties to the area, Scotty. I mean, I'm sure you do too.
Don't worry. I might know a few members.
Yeah, fair enough. Brad, I hate to cut you off. We have another guest to get to. We need to bring you back and just talk Hamilton throughout the year. It's obviously a place that's special to me. I think it's a place that's special to Canadian golf fans all around. So we'll make sure we get you back. But any final thoughts before we wrap things up? I mean, second time member, we want to bring you on again. You're one of our favorites. But
second time, I've never been on before.
What?
Took 100 episodes to get me on for 3 minutes.
Exactly.
I remember it. Why do I remember Brad being on this podcast?
No, but we're gonna have him on a whole podcast.
All right, here's the thing. I'm saying this right now. Right now. Next week, full week of Brad Lawrence.
There you go. I like that. Deep into, are you good for that?
I'll just pick a day. I can make something. Well, it depends what happens with Ford and the schools. My kids are here.
Yeah, okay. We'll figure it out. But we want to chat more about Hamilton. Unfortunately, we got, like, you know, we're really popular. Tigers on the line, VJ. We got all of them. So we just got to keep it moving.
Sounds good. I'm looking forward to hearing it.
Brad, we really appreciate it. We apologize. Next week, we'll be chatting more with you, learning all about what your plans are this year. And we really appreciate you taking the time on episode 100.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
See you later, Brad. Yeah, Brad. Bye. Oh, it's too bad we had to come off. But here's the thing. And Brad would get this. You don't make this guy wait.
No.
This next guy coming up, you don't make him wait.
All right.
Because in some ways, this next guy, in some sort of hoopda way, he's got to report into this guy. We have the CEO of Golf Canada here. This is my special guest for you, Scotty.
Well, I love it. A guy who, you know, we were just talking about Hamilton Golf and Country Club, who we were chatting with in the locker room at Hamilton Golf and Country Club just, you know, 2 years ago, I guess. Yeah,
it's been a quick 2 years, but it's moved us on that box to take from 40 to 49 We're now ticking the box of 5259.
Exactly.
Like happy birthday, Scotty.
So, Lawrence, I'm going to count you down, and we're going to do the full Marilyn Monroe happy birthday, right? This, like, you got the guitar behind you. You're ready to go.
Do you know what? There's three things my kids know very well. There's three things I'm just terrible at. Tetherball.
Very specific.
Singing. Okay. And putts within 3 feet. That's the three things I'm just so bad at.
Tetherball. All right. How do you discover that?
You know.
Who knows the rules? That's the other thing.
Growing up in Southern Ontario, we know that that's the game of choice for every recess. You know, that is the game of choice. And tetherball was what I learned. Man, you know, stick to your strengths. Stick to your strengths. So
I like it.
How are you doing, Scott? You guys are on a roll in January. Look at these guests you've been rolling out. Jerry, yeah. Jacqueline, my God.
It's crazy, isn't
today
it?
We've already hit 10 guests, 5 guests, 6 guests today. It's been a busy day, episode 100. Couldn't not do it without you.
Well, you're
my special guest, my surprise guest to Scott for his 51st birthday, which we didn't even talk about yet. Last time we chatted, middle of summer, we ended up playing golf. You know, going into the year, you were unsure of where we were heading. You, positive mindset as per usual, thought it would be a good year for golf, but we've wrapped it all up. So how was it in your eyes?
Well, I mean, first of all, the fact that we surprised Scott has already brought a smile to my face and yours, and it's great to see you guys. It has been the surprise of all surprises that in the face of really challenges, health, economic, that golf has been that savior for so many, and people played at a rate that has never been recorded before. I mean, that is the incredible thing. And whenever I do some of these discussions sort of provincially, people want to talk about in their province what went on, but we're seeing somewhere between 20, we saw 20% growth in our score center, which is real people counting handicaps. But the NGCOA, which records at source with about 700 of their clubs across the country, they're closer to 38% in terms of growth. So we're at a moment where the three of us would have never seen that the acquisition of new golfers, the avid play, and that's where it really came from, is people playing 25, 50, 100 rounds is not strange amongst our peers. But it was just amazing. And I'm so curious for each of you, round of the year, what comes into your mind? And don't say what I think you're going to say. Round of the year.
I know what he's going to say. But for me, it was a round that actually was documented today on our website. Chris Stevenson wrote a great piece on it. It was at Winter Park down in Florida, a place that I'd been before. And you'll have to go to flagstick.com to read it, because it was about starting in a sevensome and we ended up with 11-some, including a dog, some very special soldiers that were with us, some veterans, and it's a really cool piece. And that was probably the round of the year for me. So I think you got to go and read that one.
All right. That's excellent. I'm sure. And so it didn't have to do with your score. It had to do with the company, the friends. Yeah. Beautiful.
Totally. 100%. Could have just thrown the scorecard out.
Yeah. Beautiful. For me, I mean, we had a great round, but the one that will stick with me, and it's going to stick with me probably for the rest of my life. So I was in Phoenix a year and a week ago. And we were playing TPC Scottsdale, and we're a bunch of Canadians. No one has cell phone service out there. And we make the turn. And if you've played TPC Scottsdale, they have a great bar, awesome patio, big TV screens out there. And I walked up to the bar, and across the screen was Kobe Bryant had passed away in that helicopter accident. And I'll remember that feeling for the rest of my life, being like, wait, what? Like that's real? Like on the TV? And the golf round was great. We were all having a good time. And the back nine was just, it's not a bad round. It was just like a somber back nine of like memories of like, man, remember when he put up 82 against the Raptors? Like all those memories as kids. But that was also the best golf course we played that day. It's just the round that I will remember probably for the rest of my life, but it also a great round of golf that, looking back at it now, knowing where we are right now, put me back. Like, I wish I was in Scottsdale right now. I also, I don't wish I was seeing somebody that passed away on the TV when I was in Scottsdale, but I wish I was in Scottsdale right now, knowing that like that idea isn't even fathomable to do right now. So yeah, for me, that was the most memorable. I don't know if it was my favorite, I guess, not knowing your question in the end, but.
Well, I will say that, you know, Kobe's passing in 2020 was one of those where were you moments.
Yeah.
And the fact that it's combined with golf and it is a good moment. We were, I had taken a trip with my wife to Santa Monica, which is obviously not far up the road from LA and Staples Center. And someone had told us on the street, you could feel it on the street. You could feel it in the air. We were sitting in our hotel room watching it just miles away from what was going on. And no, it was a different world at the time. And who would have seen what sort of has happened in the year since then? Yeah,
foreshadowing to what we were about to get into for the rest of the year. Yeah. It feels like.
I mean, there was a lot of people I think that had memorable rounds. I think this year with family, with friends, you know, probably more than anything. And I know I can relate to that. I played more golf with my 14-year-old daughter than I ever have before. She joined a club, and you know, we were playing a lot of regular nines and stuff together. Did you hear a lot of stories like that as well?
Yeah, I was I'm sitting here waiting for it to be asked. You know, good hosts always sort of respond with the question. You know, I've got my round, and my round of the year intersects with you boys in Kingston a little bit, which is, I'm not sure if it was the round of the year because I had some really great ones, but a very memorable round was playing with our friend from the Tragically Hip, Gordy Sinclair.
Yes.
And Gordy came out, and I knew, you know, we've played before, and he loves his golf, and he's a member at Canada Rockaway, of course. Mm-hmm. And he is playing with his dad all year. I mean, he's playing with his dad. His dad's, I don't remember his exact age, but he's got to be in his 70s somewhere.
His 80s,
oh, yeah, I think he's in his 80s now. Yeah.
Yeah. And just how much he played and how much he enjoyed and how much he loves it. And we're talking about everything from, you know, the intersection of golf and music and Canadiana and the RBC Canadian Open and what we want to do. And so that was a really memorable one. And I thought about him the way similar I thought of you guys, driving him, playing a great round of golf. We happened to play at the same place at TPC Toronto. And then you guys getting back in the car and me looking at Stefan's eyes and him going, I knew he was not up for the ride home. He really wanted
I wanted to stay. And I apologize, my co-host didn't ask you, will your feet around? It was definitely on him. I would have if it was just you and I.
My bad. Sure.
And I can't wait. We talked about TPC TPC Toronto recently. Someone asked, you know, where our favorite round of the year, where to go for a golf trip. And I'm looking forward to it. I know I want to get back there next year. I think we got to get up there and do a trip, Scotty and I, and make sure we get all the courses done. We only saw the start, right? So we'll have to definitely get around in again next year. We got you here. The world's up in air. Canadian Open, where are you thinking right now? How are you feeling? Is it possible? Is it going to happen? Are you optimistic, pessimistic? What are your thoughts on the Canadian Open at this point?
Well, you know, I always trend on the side of optimism. I can tell you that our teams are working incredibly hard. Our team at Golf Canada with the amazing team at RBC and our friends at the PGA Tour are all together doing everything we can to be focused on having an RBC Canadian Open at St. George's Golf Club and at Islington. And there's been quite a few moments of we're plugging in with our friends at MLSE. We're plugging in with our friends at Hockey Canada. We're plugging in with the other sport organizations who have had some degrees of success. We hear good news. We see the numbers going in the right direction for a few days. And then we also hear some, you know, different news about whether it be border or quarantining or so we're going to just keep our heads down, work really hard. There will be nothing we won't, no stone left unturned, I should say, because everyone wants to see it done safely and healthy. And there would be nothing more pleasing to see this make a turn for the positive when we get to the summer that we all are looking forward to. I mean, incidentally, I'm watching very eagerly what's going on in the summer in Australia right now. Mm-hmm. Seeing them put on these events, seeing it going quite well so far, knock on wood. And let's be optimistic and do the work that we need to hopefully get it done. I can't wait to see you guys out there. I can't wait. You know, the interesting thing is the intersection of your podcast and the work you guys do with caddies has got me thinking about how special a caddy environment that will be if everything goes well. Very so much. Really looking forward to it.
Assuming they let me in. They might not, you know, I might be banned at this point. Well, Lawrence, we appreciate your time. I know it's late. You got a full work day to get to you tomorrow. We appreciate you taking some time for us. We look forward to catching up with you in the new year, playing golf with you this year, and just always having the time for this podcast. And as I said last time, we're both proud members of Golf Canada. We're looking forward to the year that Golf Canada has ahead.
Yeah, wonderful. Well, listen, it's always super fun to see you guys and be part of the podcast that you do. And it's always incredible. I always talk to people are listening, and it's so surprising who's listening, where they're listening. And someone will bring it up and that, you know, someone will say, you know, it was so nice to have Jackson Lee on and talk about what's going on with her. And so that's just you're connecting with people. So, I think let's wish for a great year ahead and happy birthday, Scotty. And
thank you. Thanks
again, Steph, for inviting me on.
Lawrence, anytime. We appreciate it. Have a great night and we'll chat soon, buddy.
You got it.
Have a good one. I mean, every time we say the same thing, just
such a good dude.
Top end guy. Exactly.
He is.
Top end guy.
He really is.
All right. We got another guest. I don't know.
Is he here?
He's here.
All right.
Let's see.
This is the mystery guest.
This is the mystery guest.
Letting him in. There he is.
All right. He's.
Oh, hey.
Mr. Flagstick himself is connecting to audio. Should we just get it all? Oh, he can.
Oh, there he is.
He can't
say
it. Hey, guys. Welcome.
Welcome.
Hey.
It's the big boss.
It's only taken 100 episodes for me to get on the show with you guys.
Yeah. All right. We figured may as well wait 100.
Yeah. Why not?
What's up, Jeffy?
Oh, my gosh. Well, I'm just watching it snow outside, so that's always nice.
But you're thinking about golf, aren't you?
I'm trying to think about golf. Yeah, it's kind of getting into that mode now where we are getting into February. It is kind of golf mode, and winter sports are kind of being pushed to the side a little bit.
Now, we talked earlier on the show. We sort of announced the dates for the Flagstick Open this year. You want to share with us a little bit more as far as details? I don't want to spill the beans too much.
Well, we're pretty excited about, we're pretty excited about a few things with the Flagstick Open. I mean, obviously, we build on year after year, we build on things with the Flagstick Open, and every year it's gotten bigger, and every year it's gotten better. And I know that everybody says, you know, we're always shooting for bigger and better, but we truly are every year shooting for bigger and better, and we always achieve bigger and better, even, you know, amidst the pandemic. Last year that forced us to move from our spring date, which has always been the Victoria Day weekend date. We were forced to go to August, and the players followed us, and they followed us with a massive waiting list right behind them, and we ended up with a sellout field. Had a great event, albeit different, but it was a great event. And after some discussions with Equinel this year, we've moved back to the spring date, which we're really excited about, because it's kind of like our region's Masters for us. It's like the Masters is April. That's the way it's supposed to be. Yes, it was in the fall last year, but it's back to spring, and we're kind of following suit. We're not the Masters by any means, we're playing on a top golf course in the area, and we're hoping and expecting that we're going to have a bigger field this year than we had last year. And, you know, we're also very fortunate that TaylorMade Golf Canada and Adidas Golf Canada have been long time supporters of everything that we do with this event. And they've jumped. It didn't take 30 seconds after the first email went out to just checking to see where everybody sat with the with the partnership moving forward again this year to get the response back to, yeah, we're in, whatever you need, let's get going, let's get stuff ordered, let's make it happen. So yeah, as lots of exciting things surrounding that event this year.
Now, a good interviewer would dig a little deeper, because I know that's not the end for Flagstick with tournaments. Do you want to hint at what else is going on here, Jeff? You going to give us something? Scott won't. He knows his boss will yell at him. So nobody can yell at you. What else is going on?
I don't think Scott's boss would yell at him very much over spilling the beans about what we're planning. But, you know, we recognize that for us, we do – you know, we could pat ourselves on the back a little bit when it comes to the tournament operation. We do run a good event.
Great event. You're underselling it. It is a great event. All of us have been part of, you know, big events. It's very much a big event at an amateur level, 100%.
And for a number of reasons, we had to, a few years ago, or more than a few years ago now, we had to kind of pull away from running the Flagstick Shootout, which was another two-day event, and the VCC Open, which was another two-day event. Two-day events are tough. They are difficult to run. It is difficult to get the courses to give up their course to us for two full days with the size of fields that we run. So we kind of pulled ourselves back and just focused on the Flagstick Open, and we've got that ship sailing really well right now. So we decided this year that we kind of, you know, wade into the water a little bit and see if we can't operate some single day events of a variety of different formats. So rather than just have, okay, we're going to run another one day event for ABCD division, or we're going to run another one day event for ABCD division, stroke play, you know, this kind of thing. We've looked at single day events, different categories of whether they're seniors, senior only event, ladies and senior event, men's event that's a pairs event in different formats, whether it be stableford, whether it be scramble format. So we're looking at some different ideas. We're not 100% there yet into how many of these events we're going to do and when they're going to be and what formats are going to be. We have a number of different ideas. We are planning on doing in our ideas, we want to plan on doing two or three more in addition to the Flagstick Open. And once again, you know, we reached out to TaylorMade and Adidas Golf Canada, and we asked their interest in sponsoring and being a part of those series events, if you call them series events, and they were all over it. Jumped on board right away. Yep, let's do it, whatever you need. So we know that we're going to have the Flagstick Open, the two-day amateur championship. We know we're going to have a great field for that, and we know that we're going to run another two or three single-day events with different formats for different groups of golfers throughout the course of the season.
There you go. Beans are spilled.
Wow.
Stefan doesn't even know what to say. He's like, he's trying to plan out his tournament calendar now.
I mean, I'm just worried because you mentioned seniors a couple times. I don't know if Scott can play that many rounds. He's, it's a lot. That's a lot for the guy.
Scott, good thing they're amateur.
Look, after so many years of working as hard as he did to get his Class A PGA of Canada status, I don't think that he's going to be applying for his amateur status back anytime soon. So no worries funny. There at all. I, on the other hand, am in the senior category, I would think. So, you know, I could come out of retirement to play some golf, maybe. You never know.
Hey, maybe you and I, little seniors,
non-seniors. Senior-junior tournament?
Senior-junior event? I don't know.
There you go.
There you go.
It's a team.
It's an idea. What else is new with you, Jeff? Like, what's been going on? Obviously, a weird year for Flagstick. I think everybody that knows Flagstick, the first thoughts, you know, oh, the magazine's in Golf Town, right? Like, it's a lot of golf fans, they walk in, they grab the magazine or wherever they grab it. That obviously changed this year, and we never really talked about that. So for you, how hard was it to adjust to what COVID threw at you?
I would say to adjust to what it threw at us was not, the adjustment portion of it wasn't the difficulty. You know, the fact that we couldn't print a magazine anymore, And because we didn't have the distribution, it's not because our printer wasn't printing. It's not because we couldn't produce the files and send it to the printer and have them printed and delivered and so on. But we didn't have the distribution network. Flagstick for 25 years has had a strong relationship with the golf courses throughout our region where, you know, every issue we print, distribute to 165 plus golf courses and retailers. You know, Golf Town's a big part of that at a retail level, a strong part of our distribution. And within, you know, days, that whole distribution network came crashing down. Like, okay, you can no longer deliver this magazine here or here or here or here. You can't deliver it anywhere. And then as things gradually started to open up, you know, for golf courses getting open, which was great, but it didn't change the distribution model because the golf courses, clubhouses and pro shops were not open to the public in the fashion that they once were, whether their patios might have been open, but they might have had a few people allowed in the clubhouse, but it certainly wasn't what it was for a distribution network. So obviously we switched to a completely 100% digital platform. We upgraded our publishing software for producing digital magazines so that we could add more enhancements to the digital issues, specifically for our readers to have a little bit more to do when they're flipping through the pages of a digital issue, and also for our advertisers to be more than just a flat stand, you know, one-dimensional ad that people could click on. There were photo galleries inserted into them, embedded video buttons, multiple links that they could have to different site, parts of their site, whether coupons, anything they wanted, we could do with the digital issue. So we saw a really big uptick in readership online with the digital issues. And that's the model that we're using going forward again this year. Again, we're going to modify our publishing scheme a little bit with how we present it to make it easier to read, because there's a big difference between, you know, producing a magazine with 9-point type for people to read in print and having them do that online where they've got to blow it up, move it around. It just becomes cumbersome for them to do. So we're going to change the way we publish digitally so that a lot of those articles link through to the website where they can look at them a little bit easier and freer without moving around the page and still have the ability to bounce back to the digital issue and flip through the pages to find something that they're interested in. So a little bit for everybody. So challenging, yes. Difficult, not terribly difficult to do, but a big challenge, you know, for us, and a big, you know, struggle financially. Obviously, it's different. It's not the same, and it takes time to re-educate your client base to want to do something and spend their money differently. So we're hoping that after a year of it and with the changes, that they're a little more on board with what we're trying to do. And you know, we got some surprises for them, but I can't tell you about.
Oh, you know, I would have dug into that. Let's leave it on that, Jeff. We appreciate your support for the podcast, obviously. Scotty appreciates it, of course. And your everlasting relationship of, what was it, 25 years you two have been together now?
Yeah, 25 years
at the magazine. We've been friends, good friends for a much, much longer than that. But 25 years at the magazine, it's been, and a lot of fun every day. It's a challenge. It's a different way of doing things day after day. But hey, we get through it. We adapt, we adjust, and we move on. And we're still here 25 years later. And I don't know what the statistics are on magazines these days, but yeah, back in the day, it was 5 years of a digital. If any kind of magazine made it past 5 years, you were doing really well. So we've done that times five.
You're doing something right. Just quickly, did you ever go to Scott and Rich's old apartment?
on Elm, was it Elm Street Elmwood, or Elm yeah. Avenue? I think it was Elmwood Avenue. Yeah. Oh no, I was there. I watched the Super Bowl there one year.
He was at that Super Bowl party.
Yeah, it was 50-0 or 55-0 for Dallas that year. It was interesting. Yeah, no, I saw that apartment.
Okay, well, we brought it up earlier.
We'll leave it there. Right?
Yeah, it sounds like we do a whole podcast in that apartment. The old apartment by the Bare Naked Ladies was written about that place, I think.
It may very well have been, Steph.
All right, Jeff, we'll see you in May, long weekend at Equinel. We're looking forward to it. Thank you for coming on.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Appreciate
Congratulations, guys, again on the 100 episodes. I think that's an amazing thing, and you guys are doing an awesome job. I love listening, and I'm sure all the other listeners do as well.
Appreciate it, Jeff. Have a good one.
See you, man.
All right. Cheers, guys. Thanks. Peace.
See you.
Jeffy, first time. 100 episodes, and we bring the guy that runs Flagstick in.
Finally get the boss on. He loves it.
He loves it. 100 episodes later. All right. We gotta keep going. Sorry.
We do.
Miracle. I'm out of breath right now. We've just been talking. We got a final guest. This guy's been out a couple times. Your good friend. Let's finish it up here with Casey Ward.
The most popular podcast of 2020. She was the guest. Ah, there she is.
Popular one. We've kept her in the queue for a while. She might be pissed.
I know.
Casey. I am.
Don't leave her waiting. Scott, I told Scott, we like kick off Jeff. Kick off Jeff.
He's only the boss. Yeah. And then Lawrence Applebaum before that, and you know.
Oh, no big deal.
Yeah. No big deal.
We don't name drop on this podcast, though.
No.
Never.
No.
Sorry, Brad Lawrence. If it makes feel better. You're the last one. We gave Brad 6 minutes, and he's not happy about it. It's okay.
That's why I didn't want to hijack his time.
Gotcha. Fair enough. How are you, Casey?
I'm doing well. How is the 100th episode going?
I'm out of breath.
As I told you, you were kind enough to say, wow, you know, it's great for you guys to take this on. But I was like, well, we're not done yet. So
at the start of the episode, I said, I really like this format. I could do this type of thing every week, I think, but like half of this, maybe. Yeah.
Is this also going to be the longest episode ever?
Clearly.
Close, no. Yeah.
It's got to be close, yeah.
Our first episode with Dez, when we were going deep in the caddy stories, back then, the drinks were flowing a little better on the first episode, so it went a little long, but yeah, it's one of the longer ones, that's for sure. Well, we're finishing with the best. How are you?
Good. Thank you. Thanks for the compliment.
Now, you're in lockdown like a lot of other people in Toronto. How are you... How are you spending your time?
Oh, I'm getting to do a lot of projects that have been kind of sidelined for a while, and they've been on the bench. And so actually, you know, trying to make the most of it, doing a lot of educational type stuff as well, trying to catch up on all of that. And I'm involved in the Women in Coaching program through Golf Canada and the PGA of Canada, which has been great. And that's kind of kicked off recently. So
yeah,
there's no shortage of things
a new program. Why don't you kind of introduce people to that a little bit? Obviously there's a lot of initiatives that are happening right now to get more women involved in the coaching ranks. Tell us maybe a little bit more about what the program that you've been involved in.
Yeah. So there's 9 female coaches who are selected to be part of it's an initiative by Golf Canada and the PGA of Canada. Really, I think, kind of spearheaded by their head coaching staff at Golf Canada. So Tristan Mullally, Jennifer Gregan, and they're basically, it's a almost year-long immersive coaching program covering all aspects from technical to kind of mental training, how to periodize coaching programs. It's great. We've only just really begun, but really a great group of coaches involved. So it's really exciting.
I saw you were involved in another coaching conference I don't know if it was sport as far as golf, Nova Scotia one.
Yeah, they're doing a really great women in sport leadership series. I think it's 6 weeks, and yeah, really cool. They had a good someone from Hockey Canada on, and yeah, it's a really neat initiative and meeting a lot of really, you know, powerful women in sport.
Are you surprised how many people you didn't maybe know about, or, you know, didn't really have the recognition previously that are involved in coaching in Canada that just happen to be female?
Yeah, I think, you know, when you dive into it, you really realize how many there are in a sport like golf, and there's so few female professionals. And even through the Women in Coaching program, you know, I've met coaches that I didn't know existed from across the country, obviously some of which I had known before, but there were some that are great coaches that, you know, just don't know about. And that's certainly the case across the entire sporting realm and lots in high performance sport, which is exciting.
For you, I'm always curious because I work with a lot of great women leaders in business, and some are super comfortable of like talking about like, yes, I'm a woman that is a leader in business. And some it's more like, I'm not comfortable being that voice of like the face. And almost, you're almost pressured as a woman to be able to speak out about that of being like, yeah, like, look, like this is women leadership. Well, you can kind of get where I'm going there. How comfortable are you with that? Is it more like, I'm actually just a leader in golf and, you know, being a woman's just one thing, or is it, I'm actually comfortable, I want to own that, I want to make that part of the conversation for you?
I'd say both. I don't really like that the former is, or sorry, I think the latter that you said.
The question's terrible. It's been a long day.
I get it. I don't like that to go back, you know, necessarily having to say that you're, you know, with you're a woman within leadership. I'd rather that it's just, you know, you're in the golf industry, you're in leadership, but the, you know, the reality of it isn't such. And so being, you know, if people see me as somebody, a woman in a golf leadership role or in the sport industry, then that's great. I want to be both.
Yeah. And that's where I was kind of getting at, is that fight of like, I don't want that, but I recognize I almost have to do that for other people too, so they don't have to feel like it is something different. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want it to be different. I want it to just be normal, but I don't want to have to, you know, the balance of like, I don't want to have to actually be the face and the voice of it, but I know for the future, I kind of have no choice.
Yeah. Hopefully there is a point where, you know, there's not necessarily, at least not so segregated anymore, but right now, certainly in golf, that's not the case. And there's a major, you know, minority. There's lots of minorities in golf, but females are one group, and there's a lot of good initiatives that are kind of coming down the pipeline to help kind of facilitate that going forward. So, you know, it's pretty exciting.
So what are your thoughts? I mean, and this is not asking you based on the fact that you're a female, this is just based on the fact that you're a PGA of Canada member and a, you know, an active teaching coach, but, you know, how do you see the industry changing as far as diversity and other aspects that they're trying to tackle that maybe had been ignored in the past?
I think the new, the task force, the Diversity and Inclusion Task Force through the PGA of Canada is really an important initiative, and I think that's going to push us forward. And I've talked to several members, and you know, I'm really excited about the things that they're doing. So I think I'm hopeful that that goes a long way, and that they're going to have a lot of action items come out of that. And I think that they're really doing their due diligence. So hopefully that's a major step forward.
Anything's a step forward, so that's awesome, and glad you're part of that. Let's talk about yourself for a little bit. Winter, like all of us out here. On top of that, generally speaking, you probably had more resources to practice and prepare your game and your teaching for the year. What's it like right now? Are you like the rest of us putting into old mugs in the basement?
Yep, I'm doing that, and I'm trying to work on my swing, and it is. It's frustrating, let me tell you. Looking at your own swing, I'm sure Scott, you find the same thing.
And, oh yeah.
and Stefan, I'm sure you've looked at your swing as well. Maybe you send it over to Scott, but
it just doesn't respond. It's weird. It's like, oh, I didn't get it.
It just ghosted him.
You got all. It says red.
It's in his junk mail.
Yeah.
You know, I'm trying to use the time to work on my own swing, but it is a challenge to analyze yourself and to kind of make those changes. So
do you think that's just because it's harder to be critical on yourself? I mean, it's easier when you're a coach to kind of look at what someone else is doing.
Yeah, I think so. I guess that's what it is.
I mean, I just look at my own swing and I just go, oh, I hate that and I hate that and I hate that. It's not hard for me, but I'm just wondering if it's hard for you.
No. I think the same thing.
I actually have a question for both of you based on that, though, because we're in this weird situation where You both, I mean, I don't know what your setups are. Like, I know Scott's building a simulator and he's been able to hit a little bit of balls. I don't know what you have, Casey, but you're in this weird situation, both of you, where it's like, all I have right now is myself to work on, right? Like, you don't have a lot of other people coming in, like, students-wise. So you both have to balance that, like, okay, like, I have to teach myself a little bit here over the next little break. And how's that been going for, I guess, both of you at this point?
Casey?
Well, I'm not happy with the results thus far.
Bad teacher. You
know, I've no one to blame but myself, really. But it is, it's a good exercise to go through and to, to try to work on your own swing and certainly to come at it from your own perspective. And, you kind of go through that student mentality a bit. But that being said, I like going to get other professional help. I think that's something that, probably most professionals would do is to seek other advice. So Scott, I might be filling your inbox. That's a thought that's crossed my mind many times over the past couple months.
I found it interesting is I think I'm starting to become a lot more skilled at online discussions. I mean, a lot of the times maybe during the season you'll get video from a student. I use Coach Now, which is a tool we go back and forth with the student, but I find now I'm forced into it, so I'm not getting the in-person time. So I'm starting to look at different aspects of their games in different ways, and I'm end up in these weird phone conversations. And I won't say I'm, texting students to say, hey, what's going on with your game right now, just to fill that time or fill that void. But it's weird because you start to miss working with your students. So, I'm super delighted when all of a sudden, they're in their garage with their winter boots on trying to make a swing in a winter coat. And I'm just excited to see it. And then, sort of to apply those skills that you've worked on so for so long.
Yeah, you start to miss it a little bit. You feel like a layer of rust coming on it, I think.
I'd agree. And I mean, hopefully, we get to get back to it sooner than later. But I think a lot of the coaches are learning a lot more skills. They're learning different ways to coach, learning different ways to stay in contact with students. And I think that goes on the student side as well. I think the students are realizing that, it's not always a case of showing up on the lesson tee and getting a lesson. That's not the only way to be coached. There's different ways to get feedback and there's different ways for them to work independently as well. And they realize that they need to do that independent work and they can't just rely on us to fix things, once a week. Stefan?
What do you mean? I was like more wondering like what both of you have learned from this more digital era. Like maybe you're reading into the words somebody uses over text messaging more, or I'm going way deep into that, or body language on a video, things along those lines that you don't get, that you almost have to make you both adapt to becoming better coaches in a digital pandemic era.
Definitely. One thing, you can't be hands-on, right? Yeah. So you have to figure out ways to describe things. And some people are going to, completely miss on what you're saying, and you've got to try a few different times. And, it works on your communication. You talk a lot differently to one person than you do to another. And, that's certainly a challenge.
So what do you do? Are you somebody that's working on your professional development away from golf, your communication development, your coaching development? Are you an avid reader in those type of books and resources that'd be more in line for business and that type of thing that you're almost trying to bring into that sport world?
Yeah, I'm all for bringing in outside stuff from anywhere. So I love to read.
What are you reading right now?
Right now I'm reading a Stephen King novel, but
it's about first... this really nightmare golf swing.
So Casey's a guy murder from King's students.
Okay. It's actually about the JFK assassination.
Oh, yeah, I've got that.
It's a good one.
It's weird, but it's good.
But actually, I have been listening to, it's called The Originals. It's just an audiobook and about original thinking. And looking at, you know, different companies that maybe they had original ideas or what they thought were original ideas and either failed or flopped, and what went right, what went wrong, how to pitch ideas and stuff like that. And so, you know, I think that you can glean knowledge from anywhere, really.
I'd agree. I mean, I think one of the biggest things is that you have to get outside your bubble. I mean, a lot of the times we look at the same golf stuff over and over again. So, you know, if you can go and look at things about skill acquisition or, you know, just learn about somebody's different way of doing things. I'm reading the Peter Mansbridge Extraordinary Canadians book right now. And it's interesting in the fact that there are certain people that have done extraordinary things, but how they have gone about doing it within their careers, it just makes you think differently about your own career and your own path forward and what you can do to be better within it. And I think that's better than just, you know, going back and looking at another swing video.
Yeah, for me, every day, like the people I work with, and you're kind of, you both are in the same boat. You work with strangers and you talk to strangers every day. So one of the big books, and I'm on almost my second full reread of it, is Malcolm Gladwell's Talking to Strangers, and just understanding strangers and how we can get to a better place quicker so we can make less mistakes in those interactions. And it's probably one that, you know, all three of those books we all recommended, I think anybody could listen to and or read and find value in.
Yeah, I think the skill that people forget about coaching is that, you know, it doesn't matter whatever sport it is. I mean, all of us have been involved with different sports. But
we're not sports, right? Like, you can coach in business.
Exactly. But it's reading people and understanding how they think and how they work and being efficient about how you deal with that and being able to assess it. And it's not a case of, you know, having paper knowledge. It's having that ability to read the person and, you know, analyze the situation and what's the most efficient way to go forward so that your experience with that person is the most beneficial to both of you by the time they're done. Because, you know, we have limited time in a lot of cases of dealing with people. So you want to be efficient with that. And so it's the same in business as well. I mean, you know, when I was a retailer, I mean, you have only one shot when a person comes in the door to start dealing with them. So you have to be able to figure out, okay, they've got a problem, I have to solve it. What's the easiest way for me to go about solving that for them? So sometimes you have to do things that maybe you're not used to doing because it takes care of them better.
So
Casey, everybody agrees with that, apparently.
2021. what are your goals for this year at this point? I think all of our goals are like, let's get back to some sort of normalcy. Let's try to figure out a way to be better in this new normal. But what are your personal goals as a golf coach in 2021?
Yeah, definitely goes back to the leadership part component that you talked about. I think that's one of my big focuses. I'm kind of right now taking a bit of a deep dive into some leadership content and materials. And that's an area that I'd really like to work on personally and bring that into coaching. And just personal development and hopefully create a better experience. Just like, you know, we were talking about bringing things in from other areas to create a better experience for the student or any of the people that I'm working for.
I mean, are you a believer then that, you know, the better that you make yourself, the better you're going to be for your students and they're going to benefit from it?
Of course. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, you can't be stagnant or you're going to be left in the dust. So
I said, it's already kind of dusty around here. Yeah. Like golf, it's, you know, we're at this point, right, where we've brought in these new people and we have two options. We can keep doing what we're doing and these people are just going to go away because they are here based on a circumstance that is about to change. Or we can say, hey, they're here. Let's keep them here and adapt to what they need. And that is different than what brought them here. So I love that you're focused on the experience. I think all business needs to do that. I think golf needs to do that. Huge. If we look at even the recent conversation, maybe we can take this down that direction for a little bit. The news coming out today of where we're going with changing the pro game versus changing the amateur game, almost cutting drivers down to, what was it, 46 inches. And what was it around changing the ball, you would know the exact details, Scott, because you don't forget anything. And there was another one that I'm drawing a blank on. But, like, that experience is at the pro level. They're not taking away from the experience at the amateur level. So from both of your perspectives, just hearing that news that it's not like, hey, everyone, let's punish you all. Let's make sure golf stays fun at the amateur level as well. How did hearing that news make both of you feel, or what did you think about it? Casey, we'll start with you.
I'm kind of like a Brooke Henderson, basically. I use an extra long really? Driver, and that was my my one thing. What am I going to do with my quarter inch long? But I think I could adapt to that. I don't know. It's such a conundrum. The professionals versus the amateur game. Obviously, I don't think stealing distance from any amateur is really a good thing, especially those trying to get into the game. And I don't want any distance. I'm short enough as it is.
You hit 20 past me.
So, I mean, I read an article quoting Webb Simpson. I don't know if you saw that one. And, you know, his thoughts and
looking dog legs, at, deeper rough, smaller
yeah,
green.
Course architecture and. You know, I don't disagree with them in terms of if a tour event is going to come to a specific venue, well, why not grow up the rough and, you know, make things harder and firmer and you can change those things. But definitely for the average golfer, we need to do everything that we can to, you know, make it more enjoyable and helpful.
Yeah, when I look at the Distance Insights report and then look now at the recommendations that they've put out, talk to the manufacturers, said these are the areas that, you know, we're going to look at as far as testing the clubs, testing of the ball, and, you know, possibly restricting the length of the drivers. You know, these are the areas that they have of concern. But in the context of having the local rule and being able to make use of it that way, I think that's a wise approach because just like I think Casey is saying, there is the fact that, you know, we don't want to punish amateurs. We're here to, you know, amateurs are there to have fun. They already struggle enough with the game as it is.
What do you mean?
Yeah. And really when it comes down to it, I mean, we're talking about, you know, 0.0002% of the golfers that are playing golf at the highest level. We should not be changing the game because of them. And you know, that's a frustrating part that we see a lot of times, especially on social media. We see people wringing their hands over things that are happening in pro golf. And I wish people would take that same amount of energy that they waste on social media talking about that stuff that's happening in part of the game that will never affect them and applying it to something at their club level. So all the people that are online trying to be a rules official, why don't you just volunteer and actually learn the rules and volunteer at your local club, to be on a rules committee or something like that. So in the end, we've got to do as much as we can for the amateurs. Should we toughen it up for the pros? Yeah, sure. There's, like as Casey said, there's some things that you can do with the golf course or whatever, but I don't think they need to be permanent. I don't think we need to be transforming the whole game for a few hundred people.
I agree with both of you. Casey, we appreciate you coming on. Any final thoughts before we wrap things up? I believe this is your third appearance on the podcast.
Am I getting up there with Dez yet?
Yeah, you're almost at Dez. Dez level. Is just every other episode, so he's at 50. So, yeah.
Oh, gosh. No, just congratulations again on 100. That is a pretty cool milestone. So,
we are
one of the biggest fans.
Yeah, we are. Everyone says podcasts, they'll make you millions, and that's where we're at. So we might not, maybe we'll just retire after this and just go off to the sunset. No, we'll be back next week. We appreciate Casey coming on as per usual. This year we got to get a game going this year. Scotty, set this up. What are we waiting for?
Definitely.
This is
come on up to Credit Valley and we'll have you anytime.
All right,
there you go.
See, people don't realize
that's a mistake. You invite him anywhere, he's gonna be there. That's
one time only. But anytime.
Oh, one time and only time. Okay, I'll take that up. See that?
Yeah.
I need
the good. The good news is she's going to allow you to come there once. The bad news, it's tomorrow.
Yeah.
All right. We have a little bit of snow, so bring your snowshoes and you'll be good.
We can make it work. Casey, we really appreciate it. We will chat again at some point throughout the year and look forward to getting that round of golf in one time.
You got it. Anytime, guys. Thanks a lot.
Have a good one, Casey. See ya. All right, Scott. It's what?
Wow.
Two hours and 45 minutes later.
We made it.
How many?
We made it.
If you are, you know what? here's the contest. You are at this point in the podcast. You have listened this far.
Yeah.
Tweet at Flagstick.
There will be nothing.
You let us know you made it this far. If you have made it this far and you get to this point, you will be entered into a random draw contest for a book, 7 Days at Augusta. Scott will be giving away this book, which he just found at his office. But that is what—that is what we will be giving away. So if you hear this at Flagstick, right, on Twitter, let him know, hey, I'm at that point. We're going to throw you in a random draw. We're going to give something away. Maybe we'll give a little bit more away. We'll see what else is
sure, we'll dig it up.
Around. That is it. We don't have time. I don't have energy to hear a tip of the week.
I don't know.
I'm going to do my first tip of the week. Don't start a podcast.
You know what? I got to say something before we finish up. But, you know, starting in that conversation we had in the parking lot of a certain golf store, and you said, hey, why don't we do a podcast? And you know what? We did it. It hasn't always been easy. It's been interesting. It's crossed many countries.
We've been, that's the thing. Like, you and I have recorded in 4 different countries, I think we've been in. If not more, actually, maybe 5. I think we've hit 5 different countries where you and I have been in at the time when recording. So that's cool.
So, but we've managed to get it done. I think our body of work has been fun. We've had some great guests. We certainly appreciate everybody that has managed to join us. And certainly it was fun to, you know, reminisce a little bit and have some of these people back. And I appreciate your dedication. And I want to let people know as well that, you know, Stefan's not just a, you know, Shopify guy. He is now going to be a bona fide member of the Canadian Golf Journalists Association. So
true. I'm a journalist now.
You are. So congratulations on that. And I'm looking forward to where we go with this going forward.
Yeah, I actually I sent an article in to Flagstick. The editor, you haven't got back to me. I feel like maybe it's not good enough, but I maybe I'll be writing articles. I might be a journalist. I'm a journalist. It's official.
There you official. Go.
So it's been a fun year. Fun 2 years. Wow.
Crazy.
It's crazy. I said 2 years ago, around this week, we sat in here with Dez chatting about him, you know, at that murder hotel back in the day. You know, it like the amount of opportunities this podcast started gave both of us, and it's crazy. I joke that we've made millions. We've made nothing. We've made nothing off this podcast. We don't care. It's just every week it's something fun, and sometimes we have 100 listeners, sometimes we have 2,000, and each week it's fun. Again, if you've got to this point, at Flagstick, why don't you win this book? It's a great book.
It is.
Slightly used.
I swear, it's brand new. I put it aside particularly for
this. And who knows what else we'll add to that. But yeah, let's do that. I appreciate it. Scott, I appreciate you. Jeff, appreciate you. I mean, let's just go through the guest list. Casey, thank you. Jeff, thank you for coming on. Lawrence, like, this guy's a CEO and says, yeah, I got 10 minutes at 8:50
and he's a new dad again too, so he's got a new baby in the house too.
Yeah, he's got a he's got time. Brad Lawrence, I'm sorry, I thought you were on the podcast before. Gave you 6 minutes.
We're gonna give him what, an hour next week?
You know what he's gonna do? He's gonna be like, yeah, come out to Hamilton. He's gonna let me play a hole.
Rightfully so.
He's like, one hole. No, that's it. No, sorry. No.
You're gonna get to the first tee and he'll go, you have 6 minutes to play. Get in as much as you can.
Yeah, you got all the time. Go I'll hit a drive OB, I'll have a drop, and he'll be like, head on in.
You're
calling
out.
It, yeah. Noah, nice to see Noah again. David Byrne, just a beauty, you know, in the right headspace. That was really cool, just knowing how far he's come. I don't think a lot of people get those stories. Peppers and Dez, I mean, wouldn't be here without both of those guys. I legit don't think we would without both those guys. Rich, just a great dude, great referee. Sorry if he put you to sleep. Lisa brought you up, and then, you know, obviously we literally would not be here without my dad bringing me to the game. And then final shout out, you didn't make it here, but Nick was our producer back in the day. Nick doesn't understand contraceptives. has a third kid on the way. He had two. The reason he stopped was he had his second. kid. Pretty much all this gear we use is his. Hopefully he doesn't ask for that anytime soon. So we appreciate Nick and appreciate you, Scotty, and the audience, obviously. Thanks for listening. Without you, it wouldn't be worth it.
You got it. Exactly. You know, it downloads in 70 countries now, and that's pretty cool. So look forward to 101 next week.
Top 10 in Canada. Brad Lawrence next week. I think we committed to that.
So yeah, I think we did.
If you want to know all about Hamilton Golf Club next week, we
junior coaching, all sorts of stuff. You know what? Hey, he was up for a national award last week. He won the Ontario Junior Leader of the Year. So great guy to come in and talk to us a lot about junior golf and junior development. So I think people will appreciate that.
Yeah, maybe we'll bring on a couple. Maybe that's a new thing. We do more of a radio show style. We just bring in multiple guests throughout. Random times we set it up like this, we just run for 2 hours. Hey, year three, let's mix it up. Why not?
All right, let's do
it. All right, folks, let's leave it there. Thank you. Wow, the hiccups, they're here. It's been 3 hours. You know, that's a lot of craft beer. All right, we'll leave it there. Thank you, everybody, for listening. We will chat with you next week. Slow motion, a day like today, my boat's lost in the ocean.